There you go. There you go. Demetrius Ivory joins us for his Friday check-in to tell us about the weekend weather. And you are at the Chris Kringle Mart. What is it called?
Chris Kindle.
You know what I mean?
Chris Kringle.
Yeah, the Chris Kringle Market. This is the thing right by Wrigley Field, right?
No, there will be one by Wrigley Field. I don't think that one's open yet. We're at the one downtown.
Oh!
2 weeks it opens.
Daily Plaza.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
Always a good time. You drink that warm wine, mm-hmm. get a little buzz going, drink out of the little boot they give you.
Yeah.
I should try it before my weather hit.
Yeah, you should. And then after you drink that wine, because I think there's more in it, or either that or because it's warm, it hits your bloodstream.
It does something
differently, yeah. So then you start staring at the Picasso and going, "What is that thing?
What was he thinking?
What is that?
Right? Is that a bird? No.
That's a primate, right?
It's supposed to be a woman, I think.
No way.
Yeah. No, that is. I think that's what he says it is. I know. No way. But it's. I mean, if you look at it,
depends on where you see it from. If you see it from up top, different 10 stories up, you see it totally different.
That's true.
Wow. I thought it was clearly some type of primate.
I don't think anybody knows for sure exactly what it is.
No. I think it's supposed to be a woman.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you do look at it from above, like if you're ever in the courtrooms, God forbid that should happen.
For whatever reason.
You go up there and you look down on it. It looks like a bird. I mean, I guess the whole idea is that it's different. Wherever, you know, depending on where you are. But most people just stand there, you know, at the Chris Kringle Market, and they drink the wine.
Chris Kindle Market.
Whatever. And they just stare at it, and they're like, I don't know, man. It's something.
I don't know.
All right.
Well, they say that's how you win as a creative. You just do stuff that, like, means nothing. And people determine it afterwards, you know, to be genius.
Genius. Yeah. I thought that was amazing. Like Warhol, they got the big Warhol exhibit right now, the Art Institute of Chicago. Warhol, all he did was take a Campbell's soup can and put it on a gigantic painting. And you're like, oh my God, genius!
Yeah, genius. And when you first see it as a kid, you're like, I don't get it. But now I see the genius in it.
Mm. You do?
No. I think. I read his book just last year, and I got to the very end and realized his book is about nothing.
See, got you again. I think that's the way you've got to look at it. We got Demetrius. He just went to space camp, and he read a book that meant nothing. He pretended. Nothing. By the way, I watched some of the you and Ben Bradley at space camp. Is so, and you guys are a buddy film. You basically are Silver Streak or whatever that movie is. That's exactly what's going on. Like you're there, and you're not quite sure what he's doing, and you're trying to lead him through stuff because you seem clearly the more competent of the two of you.
Well, sometimes we're trying to figure out where we go next, and his ideas, I'm not liking. He wants to go surfing on Lake Michigan in January. He's thinking we could do that.
Yeah,
and something else that's like. Being cold out, and then he thought maybe we could pull off going to Florida or the Bahamas to, call up the shed and do something with
sharks.
Chase some type of an animal or something like that.
Yeah, swim with sharks
in the Bahamas.
Yeah, just keep pitching these sorts of ideas to the bosses, Demetrius. Get yourself a free vacation. I would love to see you guys go surfing in January. Please do that. That's ratings hit right there, folks.
Yeah, that's great stuff. I said, no, I don't want to do that.
Good
no
night,
wetsuits, though.
And adieu, my dear Spanish ladies. That's it. As soon as they head off into the water, I mean, that's basically it.
But, they depart from Navy Pier.
Yeah, I think actually the best part of that is you've got the accounting folks from the company going, oh, this is good for us. Look at this. These are two items. These are two items that just opened up on our ledger. All right. So wait, we have some of the audio from you guys at Space Camp.
Goose, this is Maverick.
I see how bogey ends.
Can't even figure out how to put the damn seatbelt in.
There's a little metal box with a button on it.
Got it.
Yeah.
That's called your pursuit button.
Space Force salute.
Yeah.
Space Force.
I'm gonna knock on the door.
Wakanda.
You can move your
forever.
Who's on ready? 1, 2, 3, press.
Oops. Sorry. Screwed it up.
1, 2, 3, press. 1, 2, 3, press.
1, 2, 3, press.
They gave us one button to push, right. And we know we don't even get it right.
Well done, gentlemen. Well done.
There was a button, so there was a thing called a centrifuge, but I swear it's centrifuge. But where it spins you around like a madman.
Yeah.
And you know, you go through the keys, the gravity, and you have to press a button to like let them know you're okay. And Ben and I could not get this right. We had to do the thing twice because we just couldn't get, you know, pressing the button. You just press a button when they say press the button. We couldn't do it.
You know, this is a reason that you are actually not astronauts. I think we just learned. We're showing that video. That is, your head just keeps, doesn't your inner ear just keep spinning after you're done with that for hours on end?
I threw up, I think it was about 2 hours after that.
Wow. Yeah. That's got vertigo written all over it.
Oh, my God. I can't even watch it right now.
Well, what's funny about it is when we're done, look at the size of our heads. we have these just swollen red melons on top of our shoulders.
You know, I used to love roller coasters and things like this that spin you around real fast. And then you get a little older and you experience some nights where maybe you had a few too many cocktails and you get the feeling that you're on a roller coaster. Even watching you on that thing is getting me a little
easier. I can't do it. Because the three of us.
You associate it with like a rough night out.
Yeah. Let's not talk about that. Oh, God. All right. Let's talk about the weather because that's what you're here for. So this weekend, it's going to be melty, right? I mean, it's going to be above freezing.
Yeah, it is going to be above freezing. Upper 30s tomorrow. Mostly cloudy skies tomorrow. So, you know, I mean, that's way cooler than normal, but who are we to complain, right? So 38 is going to be about the high on Saturday. Sunday, there's going to be a little bit of a rain snow mix. I don't think much, and we'll get up to almost 40 during the afternoon. So it's probably going to be snow early in the morning. Rolling through listings, that means don't leave the house early.
Don't worry.
But then during the day, it'll turn to rain. And it'll be rain after that. Monday, cloudy, upper 30s, and then we'll be in the 40s for basically all of next week. The week after that, I think we cool down with more rain and snow.
And the week after that's Thanksgiving week.
Right. So headed into Thanksgiving week, I think a white Thanksgiving is, you know, not certain, but, you know, I think it's a pretty sure shot that we're going to have some type of chance of snow somewhere around there.
All right. Oh, man. I hate a white Thanksgiving, man, because that just tells you that the whole this is all too early. It won't end as quickly. Like, when winter starts in January, you get 6 weeks of winter before the light starts to make you feel, you know, the sun goes down after 5 o'clock, you start to feel like you're breaking the back, even though you got six more months before anything really decent happens, but you can at least convince yourself that something decent is happening. It's still getting darker earlier, and it's snowing, and it's honest to God, I gotta get on whatever this Dr. Nandra is selling right now.
Give me some too. I'll take it after Valentine's Day. That's when I'm done with winter.
Yeah, that'll be right. I'm just gonna get on whatever. I'm gonna take the blue pill, the red pill, whatever he has. That's, I gotta get on it. All right, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, hey, if you want to join me and Ben for our next story chasing sea turtles, well, I don't know, maybe Cayman Islands. Let us know.
Well, I actually went swimming with sharks in the Bahamas, and they swim all around you. And I'll tell you, but it's all right because they are not interested in you. Except then one got in, and the Bahamians that were with us were like, all right, out to the waterman, out to the waterman.
That's not a good sign.
If your tour guide's panicking, everybody is panicking.
That is a tiger shark, man! Get down to the waterman. I'm like, don't yell.
Is this a joke?
Don't yell at him. That's just going to make him mad. I mean, it's right. There's like, oh, you can feed the nurse sharks. Don't get your hand too close to the mouth. You know, like, okay, all right. Well, listen, I'm not going to feed them, but I'll be there. It'll be all right. It'll be kind of cool. I can say I swam with sharks. And then all of a sudden, this thing comes in. And yeah, I'm in water you can stand up in. And I look and I see this thing and it moved like the nurse sharks are like, you know, they're just kind of loping through and they look like gigantic gray goldfish is what they look like. Right. And then all of a sudden you see this thing come in and it's moving and you can tell the difference in a predator. You know, the way a cat moves versus like a dog. You know, it's sort of like like a lion versus a dog. That's the difference between a lion and a dog. And it's like, you know, like, oh my, oh, okay, man, don't move too fast. Don't make splashing. So you know what? Why you want to go try that? Sure, I'll go try that with you.
No,
I'll show you how that goes.
No, not that.
All right. Okay. All right. Goodbye.
All right. See you next week.
See ya. Bye. Demetrius Ivory, WGN TV News, weather, whatever he does, whatever we do here. Honest to God, I can't believe I'm still here, quite honestly.
I paid to see that. The panic on Rose's face as the tour guy's telling everyone to get out of the water.
Get out to the water, bud! I just will never forget that.
Oh, my God. Your little legs probably look like chicken legs.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Gosh, a shark. Oh, God.
Yeah. Someone's screaming at you to get out of the water. That's full-blown panic meter.
Right. And I am not. I want
to just
say,
where you are, a pool, a kiddie pool, a large ocean of water.
Also, and you can't find the boat, though. That's always those moments. You're like, where's the boat?
The funny thing is I walked in off of a shore, essentially. It's like a little man-made beach in there.
Not easy to run back to, then.
Yeah, so I'm looking and I go, okay, please don't run and do not make splashing. Just keep moving, man. And don't look back.
Oh, no.
And literally, it's like Joss, all these kids were also in there too. I figured, well, there's kids, you know.
So you just got to be faster than them.
Yeah, that's what I figured. But it was not so great. All right. Let's check in. Kim Gordon has got the news. And then on the other side, we're going to be joined by, Lauren Lapkin, or weekend warm-up, or weekend list.
Yeah.
The list. That's what I meant.
List of stuff
yes,
to
that's
do.
What it is. All right. In the meantime, here is Kim. Rokan Show. Without Anna DeVlantis today, because she was filling in for John Williams, was filling in for Steve Cochran. It was kind of there was a
musical chairs.
It was a WGN avalanche, basically a rock slide, is what happened there. So we and Lauren, you were there for her show,
mm-hmm.
and is she okay? Everything all right?
Of course.
Yes. All right. Just want to make sure.
Can we get a full report on
it? Yeah. Exactly. Let's grade it out by segments. Let's listen to it and grade it out by segments and see how it went. All right. Let's talk about the things that are going on this weekend. It's Lauren's list. We do this every Friday. And this is the time of year where I start to wonder, you know, you're not really in the festival season anymore, and you're kind of caught, mm-hmm. you're niched here between Halloween, which had all kinds of, Oktoberfest, Halloween, had all kinds of stuff going on, and you're not quite ready for Christmas yet. Or are we?
Oh, we are. So the weather has been perfect for this, because just about all the great Chicago holiday traditions, a lot of things started today. So Chris Kindle. The Daily Plaza location opened today. So that's open.
Prepare for the Instagram post from Chris Kindle Market.
A lot of pictures of mugs and scarves and hats and, you know, just the what are they called? You know, where you have all the stuff.
Oh, yeah. Where you have all the stuff.
Vendor locations.
Well done.
Vendor locations. Why can't I think of like a tent type,
you know, like
thing?
Their little huts.
Their booths. Yes,
their
booths.
You get your Christmas ornaments.
Yes.
I know a lot of people do that. It's like a traditional mm-hmm. thing.
Is there a Santa there, too?
I believe some days, yes. So this is open daily Sunday through Thursday from 11 to 8 and Friday and Saturday 11 to 9. So, and this is specifically Daily Plaza, though, because Wrigleyville has a location opening up November 22nd, so next week.
Right. Wrigleyville, it's right there, actually, in mm-hmm. Wrigley Field. It's in that little
Gallagher
park.
Way, they call
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you want to get started with your kind of shopping or just festive things, that's a really good option.
I don't, you know, do I need a Christmas mug? Do I need a Christmas hat, a tie? What do I need? It's like, when you get to the Christmassy stuff, it's like, I don't ever feel comfortable with it.
Everything now is like the almost mocking like the Christmas sweater craze, you know, like it's almost like mocking the cheesiness of some of the holiday and Christmas stuff that go down, you know. It's like a cheesy tie or like a funny Christmas sweater. I don't know. I think I'm getting older. I'm more jaded. I just don't get that excited for Christmas anymore.
Okay,
I'm excited, but not like, I don't know, not like I was.
Are you a? Yeah. I sort of assume you're a bit of a Christmas.
Yes, but only when it's close enough. So, okay, if you're not really in the Christmas mood, but, you know, kind of, meet me halfway here, because both Millennium Park Ice Rink and the Skating Ribbon open today. So those are, you know.
I like going ice skating.
Yeah, some fun holiday things to do, but they don't have to be holiday central.
I could see you being like full-blown elf decorating your parents' house, like a wreath
like
on every single door, the bathroom door, the bedroom doors.
I get really intricate with the trees having matching color schemes.
Based off your craftsmanship with the carving of a Halloween pumpkin, a lot of detail there.
Yes, so, you know, I tone it down until December, I allow Thanksgiving to come.
Thank you. You know, Kevin and I single-handedly are trying to bring Thanksgiving back.
That's right. Because
the war on Thanksgiving must end. Sure, the war on Christmas was won. But what about Thanksgiving?
But now Christmas is getting greedy. They won a war, and now they're trying to take other holidays
yeah,
with it.
Yep. Exactly right.
I'm telling you, in a couple of years, they're going to be required to dress as Santa on Halloween.
Okay, so then here, let's go this route. Instead of the Christmas things going on, there is Swanksgiving at
Uh-oh.
The Lakewood.
Oh, boy.
That's tonight from
what
7
is that?
To 11.
Yeah.
Elaborate, please.
It's just it's an event to raise awareness for a children's association.
For swankiness?
Sure.
The swanky. You know what has happened is that there's been a war on swank as well. And the people who are the most swanky, you know, they just can't catch a break anymore. They are being discriminated against.
If you just claim a war against something, then sure. Everybody's fine. That whatever you're doing, it's like, okay, they're fighting a war. Give them a break.
The swanky people are now victims. They are now victims of anti-swank people.
Right.
Okay, so there's also Thanks for Giving Gala. That's 7 to 11 tonight. That's over at Galleria Marchetti.
Marchetti.
Mm-hmm. On West Erie. 10th year for that, actually. Very special.
They're having a good run.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this will obviously be in the West Loop, but over 200 guests will be there. So it's a pretty big deal. Pretty big deal.
Cool. Yeah, that's a nice, that's a beautiful facility.
Doing nice
right
over
there. Yeah, that's where Tacoma, over by where Tacoma Inn used to be. It's over by there. It's where you go. That's where you went with your family. If you wanted to eat some nice Italian, you go, or if you were having any, like one of them, parties before you get married, you know? Like the rehearsal dinner. You want to do a rehearsal dinner?
Nice
you
rehearsal
and then
dinner.
In the next room over, there was an actual wedding. So you could actually, you know, you could like try to knock both out at one time if you had to.
If this goes well, let's just finish it off. We'll move the party to the next room.
We only have the room for 3 more hours. Let's go.
Right. It's one of those places where they would cut the spumoni like a cake all of a sudden, you know, and you just drop a plate. Everything was like prefixed and everything kind of tasted exactly the same, but it was good. Yeah. But it was tomato pasty and meat and pasta, and no matter what you were having, it was all the exact same thing.
How did we get there? Oh my god! Okay.
Well, it's because of the Como over at the Como Inn. People love the Como Inn.
Okay. Well, also tonight, Paw's Chicago Fur Ball is over at the Drake Hotel at 6 p.m. I'm sorry. Are you all right?
Okay? I have a fur ball.
Oh, okay. I thought that was more cats. This is. You know,
it's for everything.
A little bit more dogs.
They do everything. All right, stand by. Hold on. Don't move. That's what I would do when I show up. Welcome to the fur ball.
Oh, God.
Make an entrance.
Would you like to tell us now what's happening on the roads and in the skies, and then we'll get back to this?
Sure.
Rokan show then of Lantis. Off to Anna worked earlier today. She has been given the rest of the afternoon off. Carnival wagon's going to roll. She's going to miss that coming up after 5 o'clock. We got, hold on. I'm going to look this up right now. Oh my gosh. We have got.
Speaking of swanky, this is the good stuff.
Georges Trois, watch your mouth. Georges Trois is going to be here, which of course is French for Georges Trois. And it is it's opening up in Winnetka. It's going to be very avant-garde, innovative French cuisine, and I guess they're going to bring something for us to try that's innovative. I'm assuming.
Love innovation when it comes to cuisine.
Yeah, I love French food.
And I love a good croissant. That's like the only French food that I can think of right now.
Well, when Georges Trois gets here, don't worry about it. They'll explain everything else. And don't ask any questions.
Oh.
Just put it in your mouth and swallow it. That's what you got to do. Chew, 3 times, and then swallow it. That's what you got to do. Because if you sit there and you ask questions, you will miss out because you'll talk yourself out of it.
Yeah, that sounds like me.
It does sound like you. So there you go. All right. Kevin and I are like, you know, we're like,
just
what?
Anything in front of me, I'm
is it edible?
Eating.
Right. Yeah.
Bottom line.
We just open up our mouths like.
So throw it in there.
Like when a seal pops up on the side at the aquarium.
So, pretty much. Yeah.
You're waiting. Okay, I'm here. Where's my damn fish? All right. We were talking about Lauren's list here. What else you got going this weekend?
So Saturday, the Spartan Race at Wrigley Field. You guys know about the Spartan Race. This is, you know, kind of that 5K, but there's a bunch of obstacles throughout the 5K.
What sort of obstacles are we talking about
here? So it'll be, you know, you got to climb something or do a, jumping over some pillar type thingy, you know, all the crazy stuff.
Running through a bank robbery.
Right.
Shootout.
Sure. Let's add that into the mix. But it's all from, you know, an ancient Greek running event.
And is this actually take place at Wrigley Field?
That's what it says.
Like in the Wrigley Field?
Wow.
That's what it says.
Well, I mean, they do that at Soldier Field, so it makes sense.
Yeah. So 7:30 a.m. people are going to be doing this.
Oh, I don't think
it's going to be a no for me.
Yeah, no, I got that thing.
Yeah, I got that thing, too.
Yeah,
I'll be going to bed around 7:30.
At least it's not going to be as cold as it was earlier in the week to be doing this.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that's better. I mean, if you get running around.
It would hurt, though, especially if you're, like, crawling on the ground and
frozen
stuff.
Frozen turf. What's this for? Like, somebody just really into the whole Spartan
theme? You know, any other random race that people like to do, it's just an accomplishment when you finish.
Well, how 5K?
5K, 20 obstacles, 40 minutes was the fastest.
So are they running through Wrigleyville and then ending inside the ballpark?
Yeah, I haven't seen the layout, Kevin.
Okay. we need answers on this one. People.
We're not going to go, whatever.
But I want to know who the hell would. I mean, it sounds like it might be fun if I were,
Think of like
10.
The Tough Mudder, you know?
Yeah.
It's very similar in that sense.
But the Tough Mudder happens out in the middle of a forest somewhere.
I know.
Where you're running around and you're in the, did you ever do that?
No.
All of a sudden she's like, oh yeah, no, I know all about it. What? I don't think so. It's like where you pick up a tree and you drag it for a couple of
minutes. Yeah, you have like a partner and you have to like carry them sometimes.
You like jump over a bonfire with flames that are roaring.
Yeah. Sacrifice a finger too. Yeah,
right. You have to climb into a cave and then back out of a cave.
A lot goes into it. Yeah. Anyways, there's also Chicago Gin Fest tomorrow at 1 p.m.
That's now Kevin, this is more our style.
It is.
This is kind of swanky, too, because there's nothing like a gin martini.
It's over at Sky Bar in South Loop. $20 to $30 for this, and you get to try more than 20 varieties of gin.
Oh, that's
good. I didn't even know
well.
That's possible.
I remember my first gin fest. I was, 15 or 16, exploring through my parents' liquor cabinet. Mm-hmm. Things did not end well at the gin fest at the Powell household.
No. Always ends up with someone holding your hair back.
And then you come to, and you're like, what happened? Where am I?
And the thing is, a gin has such a specific taste that you're like, I will never do it again.
It sticks in the back of your throat for like 3 weeks. You can taste the gin. You can taste the gin. So that was my first Gin Fest experience. Maybe I'll do it again.
There you go. Or you can go to Wine and Food Experience over at Soldier Field at the United Club. That's tomorrow, 1 to 4. But you get to get to taste and savor a bunch of different things from the Chicago culinary scene and kind of look into local trends or regional traditions in terms of food that they're presenting. So there's going to be
I like how they dress that up, right? They're putting lipstick on that thing right there. Oh yes, it's about the local traditions. It's also about emerging trends, you know. And you're like, you know what, it's that you're feeding me something that is like a pea on a Ritz cracker, and you're telling me that it's something special.
$65 to $85
for $65. Is this what I'm getting?
That sounds like I'm kind of intrigued, though, because if it's all you can drink and you're just stuffing your face with food, that's probably really good.
We have some of the best chefs around
here. Okay, I'll put that one on my list. I'll consider this
I'm going straight to... Well, I got to go... You know, I'm going on a super secret mission to the Notre Dame game.
Right. Yeah. It's a super secret game.
Yeah.
Where you and Ben Bradley are going.
Right. Ben Bradley and Joe Donlin. I'm sorry that you're going to be jealous about this.
It's my guy. Pray for the WGN the news team. If it doesn't go well.
Right, and if I'm the only one who survives it, I am going to be in so much trouble, Mr. Rennie. That's all I'm going to say.
But at least if something happens there, we have a whole broadcast team.
That's
there
a great
report.
Point. If something major happens in South Bend, we got a
take
full
you live.
Team.
Yep. It'd be perfect.
Live to South Bend.
Hey, I'm going to stand there with Donlin. I mean, we're going to make Ben go near the, you know, whatever the calamity is.
Oh, goodness.
All right, go ahead.
So I hate to do this to you, but there's so many Christmas things I did not get to yet.
No.
I know. Okay, so there's Christmas Around the World and Holidays of Light over at Museum of Science and Industry. It's pretty cool. It's just a big display of different holiday traditions from around the world. So you kind of get to get in the holiday spirit, but also learn about different traditions. I think that's, pretty simple, but fun. And there's also a Christmas Carol playing at Goodman Theater starting tomorrow through the 26th of December. And there will be a performance.
That is an amazing tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
Since I was a child, that tradition has been going on. And I saw it once when I was 7, and I have not been back since.
It's really interesting to always see different takes on the story.
Little Ro wasn't having it?
No. I mean, that movie used to freak me out.
My favorite is the Muppets Christmas Carol.
I just don't like
that one.
I just no.
It is amazing.
I just don't like sitting. I don't like the idea of waking up and there's something at the end of my bed that wasn't there before. It's like it may be the absolute worst. I'm already worried about what's potentially.
In my bedroom. Just getting through the night.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you wake up and there's some floating guy in a dress who's like, I'm from your past. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. No, you're not.
Wrong guy.
I don't like any of that stuff. So.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. So another interesting thing, there's a holiday tour of Drinks, Dailies, and Dead Guys from Chicago Detours. So it's a mostly indoor walking tour, and you can see classic downtown holiday traditions and kind of go off the beaten path and listen to stories about certain people and their impact around the holidays in Chicago. And there will be little gimmicks of holiday seasons past, all that stuff, the historic Marshall Fields, and, of course, a couple drinks. So
I'm in on that.
Yeah, you get to indulge in beverages while learning something.
See, now, why did she save all of this part? Next weekend... Because it's the Thanksgiving week, Thanksgiving week, will there be more or less, do you think?
I don't know, but it runs through December 30th, so you can schedule something pretty much any day. Yeah.
Nah, that's all right. When is this gin thing? Is gin thing a one-time deal?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just tomorrow. Sorry.
We have a new invention back in the office. It just landed here.
I walked in. I go, what do we got here?
It is a cocktail maker.
Oh yeah, I've heard about these.
When are we unleashing
like
this?
Keurig, it's like Keurig, you put a pot in. It's a whole thing that goes on, but it makes cocktails for you. So nice. I don't know. I think we're gonna unleash it. We have to play with it next week.
Okay. Are we keeping that here?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I believe they want it back. so that is gonna have its own little problem. I think. I don't know. Maybe we'll. Well, we have a Canard Wagon because we got Georges Trois here, and we don't want to upset Georges Trois by trying to make a cocktail that's nicer than Georges Trois's cocktail.
Yeah. Well, if you guys want to check out any other event, obviously Weekend Warning video is up on WGNradio.com. So all the events are on there, and I'll be keeping tabs on holiday things you can do throughout the winter.
There it is. Lauren's List right there on 720 WGN. All right, coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, Mike Quigley's going to join us. He's a congressman who was actually in those hearings today. We'll get his take. And Hogue on the Bears all coming your way. Stay right here. News from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, too. I love that guy. Hey, I want to remind you that coming up on the 6th of December, we are going to be doing an event 2 decades in the making. I believe this is our 23rd time we're doing this. I keep changing the number. I believe it was Christmas of 97. So this would be our 23rd time, right? So 22nd year.
Don't ask me. I'm bad at math.
Yeah, 23rd time. of doing this Toys for Tots event. And it actually started, it's so funny, it started originally in Tinley Park at the Odyssey Country Club Tinley Park in that room, their event room. It's just beautiful.
Yeah.
And it was, the whole thing got started. Would you like the origin story?
We would.
Since I'm here
I
to promote this.
I would love to hear it. Story
Pull
time with Roe.
Yeah.
Fireside with Roe.
So when I was a kid or I was just in college, the Full Metal Jacket came out, and I absolutely loved that movie. And I couldn't believe how scared I was of the Gunnery Sergeant Hartman. And I always loved Lee Ermey because he was in a billion things right after that. Right, he was in Boys and Company C, which actually they had done before that movie. He was in Apocalypse Now. People don't really recall that. He was a helicopter pilot. And the story of how he ended up in Full Metal Jacket is an amazing story. He was living in the Philippines at the time. He had worked as a consultant on Apocalypse Now. Also, as an actor. He was trying to work as an actor. And then they shot Boys and Company C there, which was not a very well-received movie at the time, but it's a very good Vietnam War movie. And he gets a call from Stanley Kubrick, who was making Full Metal Jacket, to go to London, because Full Metal Jacket was totally shot in London. They actually imported palm trees from Africa, and they came down the Thames. And they recreated the city of Wei in London. They recreated Paris Island in London. It was a totally crazy thing that they did. So he goes to London. He's going to be a consultant on the film. They start shooting, and they have the opening scene where he comes in and he makes the big speech for the opening scene. You know, you maggots, you know, that sort of thing. Brian, can you pull up a little something? Can you pull up a little something from that opening speech? Just so people will remember this.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Bullshit. I can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
It just kind of gets, and this is the nice part. That was the really nice part. It gets a little rowdy after
filthy
that.
Filthy sewers. Interesting.
Yes. He is just in a, he was, so I was always taken by that. Well, he was in another film. He was in a film about Steve Prefontaine, the American track hero from Eugene, Oregon.
And, hey, I lived there.
Yeah. And so he was in this. He played Bill Bowers, and he was in this movie. And we happen to know the guy who was producing, directing, and producing that movie, the guy from Hoop Dreams. And they had Lee Ermey available for interviews. So I asked if we could do an interview. We did a couple interviews, and we talked about that and Full Metal Jacket. And then sort of struck up a little bit of a friendship with him. And I said, hey, would you come in? Because we were playing, at that point on the radio, we were playing a lot of that speech. Because there's so many great moments in that speech that, you know, once you really get into it, it's motivational and very scary and also very funny at the same time. So what we did is we started for like 6 weeks before. On the radio, we just kept playing moments from that speech. And what we did, we planted Lee in the audience of the first Christmas show. And so what would Gunnery Sergeant Hartman do? And he pops up out of the audience. Awesome. And he starts the speech, and he goes down the center aisle of the room, and he just does the whole thing. And the place,
what was the reaction from a crowd seeing it live?
It was absolutely, it took their breath away. It took my breath away. It was like just a moment where everybody was stunned. And in exchange, he said, listen, I will do this with you, but you have to do stuff for me for Toys for Tots. And so he got me involved in three different events every year for Toys for Tots here. And, you know, here we are 22 years later. And then he passed away prematurely a couple of 2 years ago now, a year and a half ago. But he was, you know, such an inspirational guy and such an amazing guy. And that's why I want to continue to do this. Did it for those many years with him. And it was always when he would show up on stage, I mean, it was like... It was pandemonium. But that first time, and people who were at that show in Tinley Park, that first show at the Odyssey, will remember how absolutely crazy that is. Well, we're doing the same thing again. We're doing the 23rd iteration of this in Tinley Park on December 6th, all brought to you, presented by American Sale and brought to you by Apple Chevrolet and Architect of Chicagoland. You can drop off Toys for Tots. If you cannot make the show, this is going to be at the Tinley Park Convention Center. If you cannot make the show, drop off Toys at Apple Chevrolet. They're collecting them right now for us. Lauren Lapka is looking at the roads and the skies. Rob Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Mike Quigley is joining us right now. He's a congressman. He was in that meeting today. He was in that hearing, I should say, up on Capitol Hill, where the former ambassador to Ukraine, Maria Yovanovitch, was there. Marie Yovanovitch. And she was, you know, like the two earlier this week, the two gentlemen earlier this week, she was in that chair for quite a number of hours, congressman. And what was your takeaway?
I think she has an impeccable record. You don't assign somebody to Ukraine who is in the middle of a war with Russia if you're not experienced with an impeccable reputation. And my impression was that she was ousted because Rudy and the president didn't think that she would play ball. And they wanted to pressure a corrupt inspector general to investigate their political rival.
It was interesting to watch how Republicans handled her in questioning, because they seemed to be a little more pugilistic or aggressive with the two gentlemen, the ambassador and then George Kent, over on Wednesday. But today they were very respectful, almost to a congressman. They were respectful of her service. She had over 30 years in the Foreign Service. She was in Somalia. She was in some of the hottest and most dangerous places in the world, applying her trade as a diplomat. And what I found sort of some cognitive dissonance in was, as Republicans, while they were questioning her and almost unanimously praising her service, and her diligence, but asking her questions about whether or not the president could, the only real issue was, can the president fire you? Yes. Okay. Well, then why are we here? That's the way the Republicans were setting up their questioning. The president, though, then tweeted about what a failure she was as a diplomat. What was your reaction to that?
I think they were responding to the president. I think they saw the optics of the president attacking this exceptional career diplomat, and they didn't want any part of that, and I think they recognized how poorly that was going. So it makes it a lot more difficult to attack somebody when they recognize the optics here, particularly with the president going after her. Really, you know, a borderline witness intimidation in real time.
Let me ask you about the television ratings, because there is one wonders, like the Kavanaugh hearings specifically had about 18 million people watching. These so far have had about 13 million people watching. I don't know what today will be. We'll find that out tomorrow or Monday. But are Democrats, are you concerned, Congressman, that there may be some fatigue here?
I can't be concerned with that. Here's the bottom line. This is really important. This isn't an entertainment network show. This stuff's important. People ought to pay attention. It's thick. It's nuanced. It's complicated. And I have to have faith that they get that and they want to plow through this. This isn't even as simple as Watergate was, right? This involves another country. Mm-hmm. It involves our national security. National Security Advisor under President Carter, Mr. Brzezinski, said something very appropriate for today, that Russia without Ukraine is not an empire. With Ukraine, it is. That speaks a lot to the regional implications of the security of Ukraine, but also for our own country. So, I suspect people think I was a bit humorous today, was for a point. But it's not to be entertaining. Democracy isn't a spectator sport. You've got to dig in. You've got to understand as much as you can.
Yeah. And before we let you go, next week, more people will be coming up before the committee. Do you think that ever the whistleblower will be before the committee? Obviously, Republicans have been asking. They made a big deal of that today in the hearing. Is it appropriate for the whistleblower to be there, and will it actually happen?
I think a lot has changed since the original discussions. First, the president put the whistleblower's life at risk, talking about treason and traitors, and you know what we used to do about these kind of people? The whistleblower is receiving threats. They're playing a very dangerous game on the other side of the aisle, trying to expose this person. And final analysis, the way I look at it is, if they were investigating an arson, they'd arrest the person who pulled the fire alarm. And that's all the whistleblower did. And the whistleblower's complaint has not been refuted at all. It has only been corroborated. So that person's job is done. If all you want to do is raise conspiracy theories and put this person at risk, shame on you. Let's move forward.
Okay. And next week, what should we be looking for?
I think that you're going to see a continuation of the theme. I think you'll see building blocks on this. I think Ambassador Sondland's testimony will be interesting. He's already amended it once. The testimony that Ambassador Taylor referenced in his testimony will make Mr. Sondland's testimony even more fascinating.
And will we hear from that person? Will we hear from Ambassador Taylor's staffer who was... who overheard the president on the phone?
It's the answer we give most often in all these things. It depends on a variety of factors. I think the most important factor will be Ambassador Sondland's testimony.
Got it. All right. Congressman Quigley, thank you very much. I know you're running into something. Appreciate your time.
Sure. Take care.
Thanks. Bye now. All right. As I was watching, it was a moment. It was a very, very, very different tone because... It's funny to watch this. Republicans, I think, realized that they had a very sympathetic witness up there and did not want to necessarily be too aggressive. And one of and they actually had a woman who Congressman Stefanik, who we haven't seen quite as much of, and she was actually one of the congresspeople leading the charge for the Republicans. So I think they wanted to make sure that they didn't come across optically as being sexist or beating up on this woman who was, again, a 30-year diplomat who has an impeccable... When they kept asking her for the purposes of this about all of the different citations and awards she has won from the State Department, and you know that those would be equivalent to honors and awards one would have met would get from the military.
Well, there were some moments where you genuinely felt sorry for her. Yeah. I mean, put politics aside, the woman just looks so upset. I mean, she's given so many years of her life to this, and she's sitting up there. I just wanted to give her a hug. I'm like, ambassador, it's okay. She genuinely looked very, very upset.
You know, at one point they did ask her about her family. How's your family handling this? Yeah. And she said she did not want to. Her reaction to that was so genuine, which is she was stunned by the question. And I was like, well, I don't want to get into that.
Everything is so unprecedented. I mean, the whole, you know, Donald Trump tweeting while this is going on and the reaction to them reading it out loud. I can't believe this is the world we live in right now.
And it's even politics aside. I mean, the way we're viewing a hearing.
Right.
And it's like we're watching a sporting event and people are live tweeting it and giving analysis and giving thoughts. It's just everything is consumed so much differently.
I think what ends up happening here, this is what we got a little bit from Michael Steele yesterday, is that this ends within a week or two. The House will vote to impeach him, and they'll send it to the Senate for a trial. And it'll be along party lines, that vote, and the Senate won't do the trial.
Yeah.
And then there will be an election. You'll say, well, there's an election. Mitch McConnell has said this before, right? He didn't want Barack Obama to nominate a Supreme Court justice because there was an election coming up 18 months later. So now with an election 8 months later, whatever it will be by the time we, you know, the Senate has to take this up after the first of the year, then he will use that logic again. And so that's what it's going to be. And the American voter will have to make the decision.
Well, and you mentioned the viewership down for whatever reason. I think there's a few factors. One, everything politics can just be so exhausting. Yeah. Two, this is an incredibly complicated matter. And three, like you just said, I think we all kind of know where it's going to go.
Yeah.
There is no cliffhanger ending to this.
And so many people have made up their mind already what they believe and what they think is true. And unfortunately, it almost doesn't matter.
Well, one wonders if you get to next week. That's why he brought up Ambassador Sondland. Once you get to next week, Ambassador Sondland gets up, and he was obviously a political appointee because he was a big donor. So one would imagine that, and he originally was very defensive of the president in this, and he had to change his testimony. It'll be interesting to see what he does here. And will there be Republicans who, I'm not talking about on Capitol Hill, because I think that's already the die is cast there, but I'm talking about Republicans, you know, around the country, the people who are watching this, who, you know, like the way the country's going. They think the president might be a little bit of too much of a loudmouth and too much on the Twitter, whatever it is, but they like the direction that the country is going. Will they soften on the president after they see what Sondland says? That, I think, is the question, and that might be the risk.
I'm very curious to see what his reasoning is for even getting involved with a country that he's not appointed to. You know, with Ukraine. You know, he was
Is not in the EU. Yeah. That came up a number of times, and the Republicans already sort of, they actually did. They tipped their hand in terms of where that's going to go, which is, you know, the Ukraine touches other EU countries, and then everybody would be interested in that. So, you know, in terms of their economy and all the rest of it. All right. Well, more to come on that. We appreciate Congressman Quigley for joining us at moments like that. And I like when we see the guys that we know asking questions.
Yeah.
I know that guy. He lives in my neighborhood.
Right. That's the whole idea of Congress. That may be the best and worst part of Congress is, yeah, I know that guy. He owes me money. All right, coming up. I want to tell you about this. Coming up, we go from that to the Bears, and Mr. Hogue is going to be here. We're going to just talk about the NFL for a moment here. NFL had a Donnybrook last night. It was insane what happened in the Cleveland-Pittsburgh game. Now, that's a very well-informed hatred that those two teams have for each other.
Very much. That was the 135th meeting between the teams. A lot of history between those rivals.
Yes. And
very one-sided, I may say.
Yes, that is accurate.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's not like, you know, where the Green Bay Packers-Bears rivalry, mm-hmm. and they go, oh, you know, after 100 years and, you know, 200, whatever the meetings are, the differential in the games
only
is like
a few games,
yeah, three or four games, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, just about 50-50.
Yeah, I don't know if Cleveland's ever won that game.
No, with any organization.
All right, all that coming your way. But first, Kim's news from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom 2. I always look for my big boy pants in my closet now. I'm not sure which ones I have. I have the little knickers that I wear.
Either way, Hamp just gets you fired up, no matter what he's talking about.
I love that guy. All right. Before we get to Adam Hogue, we're going to talk to him coming up in about 7 minutes, 8 minutes, something like that. And I got some thoughts about what is going on with the Bears. He's going to tell us about the injury report, which, as you just heard in Kevin Sports, very long and labored. But I also have some thoughts on the NFL.
Okay.
And about what maybe we should just close down the rest of the season. I think it's maybe what we should do.
Let's take a knee.
Yeah, exactly. No, oh, no. No, no, it's not.
Uh-oh,
no,
bringing no, up uh-oh. Another issue.
Oh, why would you do that? Why would you bring that up? So we'll do that. But I want to, did you see this story out of Indianapolis, the story of the judges?
I saw the headline, and it was a lot to digest, so yes. I haven't really completely dived into this story, so I'm looking forward to hearing you lay it out.
We only a few moments here to do this, but I do want to throw this out. All right, so basically, these judges were at a big judging conference, you know, where you learn how to be a judge, you know, and you learn the new techniques in judgeship, I suppose. Maybe there's I don't know why judges would need a conference, an ongoing education. One would think that they would know the law, but whatever. Maybe it's new things. Maybe there's like new robes and tassels and things.
I like this gavel.
This is a lightweight gavel.
Great weight to this one.
Packs a punch.
Top
know?
Heavy.
Yeah, I like it. All right, whatever. So they're at this thing, and they decide, a couple of these judges decide, you know what they're going to do? They're going to go out, and they are going to have a little night on the town. There have been some drinking. Mm-hmm. I don't judge. Not allowed to judge on that.
No judging the judge conference.
Yeah, exactly. They'll judge. They'll judge. I won't judge. They go to a strip club called the Red Garter in Indianapolis, and it's closed.
Oh,
like permanently
no.
Or just when they went?
I guess when they went. I had no idea the strip club's closed. I thought
they were like casinos. Pumping oxygen into those things. No windows.
No, it's like a 7-Eleven. It's always, there's no lock on the door for a reason. You just go. But I guess the strip club was no. You know, it's Indiana, so they may have different rules. I'm sure they do. Because right down there.
A little stricter.
Right.
No booze on a Sunday, right?
Right, exactly. Things like that. So I just figure that,
maybe it was a Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go with that. They couldn't go. So they end up at basically a White Castle across the street from the strip club.
Sounds about right, yeah.
Okay. So then as they're in the White Castle and they're drinking, then another female judge shows up. And she's also had a few cocktails. And she goes and gives a finger to a passing car.
For...
I know she was judging them for some. Maybe they were going. They were excessive speed, but she didn't. You know, she didn't.
I'm gonna
have
see
her
you in the courtroom
on.
Monday morning.
Right, something, and then that car stops. People get out of that car. A fight ensues. All of a sudden, it's a melee. People now, all of a sudden, you got judges, swinging on the people in the car, swinging on the, and then you know the lady judge was on the ground. I mean, the whole thing just turns into a deal. And then I can laugh about this because it worked out all right. The driver of the car that had been finger flagged pulls out a gun.
Oh no!
Because it's a concealed carry state, of course, like Illinois is. I think it's even open carry in Indiana. I think you just show up with an AK if you wanted to, and fires off two shots and drops two of the judges.
Oh my God!
See, I'm not flicking anybody off in Indiana.
Right? Exactly.
I keep my road rage down these days.
Yeah, you got it.
Right, everybody's on edge.
And so the judges are okay. They're recovering.
Okay.
They you know, they take to the hospital, get graze wounds, everything's okay. But so now the Indiana Judicial Society of, you know, the people, they're basically what they're the cops that look at the judges. We have, it's called ARDC here in in Illinois. But like they're the people that watch, you know, people have law licenses and judges and things like that. They're looking at them and they're considering more action based on, and they're told, listen, you can't, you're judges, you can't be acting like this. You can't get in the middle of a gunfight at a lit at
White Castle, yeah. White across Castle, the street, which, from a strip park.
Also, and that's the thing, the White Castle is open 24 hours, and that's the one thing that we learned about that from this story.
What an overreaction, though.
Yeah.
The finger? How about a gun?
Right. Yeah, that's how it went. All right. Well, we wish everybody the best of luck.
Speaking of road rage,
what's happening on the roads?
Well, I'll tell you weather first. How about that?
All right. Adam Hogue is joining us right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. We ran into Mr. Hogue last night at that event that we were that we all started at, the ping pong tournament.
Yep. Jackson Chance Foundation.
Right. And which is an amazing group. As a matter of fact, Mr. Hogue is on the board, if I'm not mistaken, of the Jackson Chance Foundation. Is that correct?
I'm on the event committee, not on the board, on the event committee, help put everything together, and definitely appreciate that you guys all came out and helped support such a great cause and something not a lot of people think about, that, you know, parents need parking when their babies are in the hospital. It's a great cause, so thanks for coming out.
All right, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Too much fun, actually, because the party just rolled into the next place, and, well, I'll look out. Next thing you know, there's Peanut Tillman and Jerry Azuma, and there's something going on. Oh, God. All right. Let's talk about the Bears here for a second. Long injury report. What do you make of it?
Well, it's not a lot of people that have contributed a whole lot this year, except for one player, obviously, and then David Montgomery, the rookie running back, who's questionable with an ankle injury. And if he can't go, that's significant, because the Bears just got rid of Mike Davis a week ago to try to get a draft pick, a compensatory draft pick. So their depth at running back is all of a sudden pretty weak. Of course, the head coach hasn't really committed to running the football too much. But that just means that I think a lot will be put on Mitch Trubisky's shoulders if David Montgomery can't play. Otherwise, you know, with the tight end, just to be honest, I mean, Trey Burton, guy's done nothing this year. So if he misses a game, it's not that big of a deal. Adam Shaheen, kind of an odd thing that all of a sudden his foot hurts again. But he was inactive last week. He got benched. So, again, not a huge deal. The big question mark will be David Montgomery.
Yeah, that's a big one, Adam, because the thought of a David Montgomery-less Bears offense right now is terrifying, considering how think of how bad the Bears offense has been with him in there, and he's been such a key player to the offense over the past few weeks after all of us were screaming at Matt Nagy to run the ball. They actually have kind of gotten the ball to him quite a bit over the past few games. So he can't go. You tell me, who's on the roster? It's just Tariq Cohen, who's pretty much proven that he's not a running back. What do they do there?
So I think what will happen is you're going to have a just sort of a committee of backs, and that committee is going to be Cohen. Like you said, though, he's small and not the best running between the tackles. Cordero Patterson, though, has lined up back there, not only with the Bears this year periodically, but also you may remember last year with the Patriots, they used him back there when they were having some issues at running back and some injuries. Again, not ideal. He's really sort of just a gimmicky type player. But, you know, with the ball in his hands, good things do happen sometimes. He did have that 64-yard run, if you remember, out of the backfield against the Broncos way back in week two. And then there's Ryan Nall, who's been on the practice squad and one of those preseason heroes that the fans all love in August. And he's on the active roster now. So he's the type of guy who maybe will just get a carry or two, and if he looks like he can play, you might feed him a little bit more as the game goes along.
Okay, well, that's the running back situation, which is just about disaster.
Hold on a second. I have to stop everybody for a second here. We did get a request. You know, we take requests on this show.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we did get a request because of the injury report for an old-time John Fox injury report. Shall we play that for you? Just to remind people of how things used to be and what's old is new again and new is old again?
All right. Go do the injury report. Kadeem Carey, hamstring, did not participate, doubtful. Jeremy Langford, ankle, did not participate, doubtful. Jay Cutler, thumb, did not participate, doubtful. Eddie Goldman, ankle, did not participate, doubtful. Danny Trevathan, thumb, did not participate, doubtful. Alshon Jeffrey, hamstring, limited, questionable. Josh Sitton, shoulder, limited questionable. Jonathan Bullard, toe, limited questionable. Willie Young, knee, limited questionable. Sherrick McManus, hamstring, limited questionable. Tracy Porter, knee, limited questionable.
Wow.
Harold Jones Quarte, concussion. Full participation, cleared on the protocol, questionable.
12 or 13, I lost count on the list there.
Wow. Oh, those were the days. Hey!
It's the best.
Yeah.
So it is like, all right, there's only five names on the Bears injury report today. It seems like a lot, but it's another reminder that even though this season hasn't been what we thought it would be, it has been a lot worse here.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that. Let me ask you very quickly, because I know you're getting ready for Northwestern tomorrow and all that. You got to do your prep. You have to sit in the team room, interview a bunch of people. I want to know what your thoughts are, since you're an NFL guru. I would like to know what your thoughts are on what you saw in Cleveland last night in that Pittsburgh game.
Well, I was watching it, and it was crazy to see that happen in a game. And the suspensions that came out were all deserved. But to spin it to the Bears, which is really where my mind went, as everyone was reacting on social media, and you know how it goes, you know, in the social media world, as soon as something like that happens, and everyone's like, this has never happened before. I'm like, this happened this year with the Chicago Bears. In August, Kyle Long swung his got a hold of Jalen Dalton's helmet, who's not on the Bears anymore. He's one of those guys that got cut back in August. Got his helmet and swung it at him repeatedly in practice. And if you may remember, I mean, he didn't make the trip to New York that weekend when they played the Giants in the preseason, but then it sort of went away because it wasn't caught on video. Kyle Long had to apologize, but it's not like he was suspended by the NFL. Although I will say, guys, I do think that that incident absolutely had something to do when you compounded that with him not playing well early in the season, with the Bears just moving on from him.
Yeah, no question about that. The guy was a disaster. Such a talented guy, and he comes from, you know, such an amazing lineage of football, you know, his brother and his dad and all that, but it's just unexcusable and inexcusable. He has absolutely no... There was going to be no future with him here. But now the NFL is going to have to do something, because you saw this in a game against a rival. I mean, it's almost worse what Kyle Long did, because he did it to his own teammate.
And a practice squad guy.
Right. Yeah.
Trying to make the team. You know, and Mason Rudolph, the quarterback, that's who Myles Garrett ripped his helmet off, hit him in the head. His agent says they're not ruling out legal options, like making this.
Yeah.
That's a possibility that this is...
Like assault and battery?
Well, you could sue the guy.
I mean, yeah.
Because it is not, I mean, they are required to wear their helmets on the field, right? That would be the legal point here. And so the helmet, him ripping, the Myles Garrett ripping the helmet off, and then swinging it and connecting. And he connected pretty good. Although he stayed up. The quarterback stayed up
until he got hit from behind by another Browns player, another cheap shot. I mean, there were a lot of cheap shots going down. I mean, there were people calling for a police investigation into this and making it a case.
I think those judges from Indianapolis should have run out on the field in the middle of it, too.
Booger McFarland went nuts after and said they should. I'm like, I don't know.
This is just interesting thinking about hockey. And this happens all the time. And
hockey
it's
players are
deal.
Just throwing fists at each other's face.
Now we're going
but
to a courtroom.
There have been incidents in hockey with sticks that they actually have had legal charges. I think there's even one case where someone went to jail for it.
Yeah, that was, I'm not going to guess names on this, but remember there was a sucker punch and he knocked the guy out and he landed face first and he broke his neck, and that was something that got settled out in court with that situation too. So,
but, you know, in most hockey fights, I mean, Andrew Shaw does it perfectly. You drop the gloves. You do. It's the old school of hockey. You make one big roundhouse missing punch, and then you hug each other for a while. You get pulled apart. And you
give them a stinky glove to the face.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Every once in a while, you'll see some serious blows to the face, though.
Yeah,
it was just crazy, though. And I think it does. All of it gets magnified with the social media world, and people are going nuts. I like got home last night. I'm like, what is going on in that game? And his people were just teeing off on Myles Garrett.
Well, now Roger Goodell's going to have another meeting, right? Were we just talking about Roger Goodell yesterday having to do something very important?
Hey, last question, Adam. Are Bears going to send someone to the Kaepernick thing tomorrow?
You know what? It's been just complete silence. I'm The question is, are the Bears handling this the way they are by, like, just being completely vague?
Yeah.
Because of Colin Kaepernick or because of Mitchell Trubisky?
I think it's Mitchell Trubisky. We're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, yeah. Adam. See you on Northwestern tomorrow. We've got the news coming your way from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2 minutes.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here. I want one bourbon, one shot, one beer, one bourbon, one shot, one beer.
Tastes great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life. And I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it. I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
The Canaro wagon is rolling. I know what you're asking yourself. Wait, I thought it came out at 5:40. Well, you know, traditionally, it always came out at 5 o'clock. And now we've had a reconstruction of the clock, as they call it in radio, that, you know, when you do what you do and how long you do what you do for and all that. And so we decided that we're going to take advantage of that. And because we have a segment here that allows us to, we don't necessarily have to start the top five at five, right at five. We can start it at 5:15, 5:17, something like that. That's what we're going to do, because the Canarbo wagon should be at 5 o'clock. Because what do people say?
O'clock somewhere.
The people don't say it's 5:40 somewhere, do they? No.
Well, they might.
They don't.
It doesn't flow off the tongue so well.
It's 5:40 somewhere. Nobody says that. It's 5:39 somewhere.
5 o'clock on a Friday, the work week's over.
Yes, that's it.
This is let loose.
This is how we. And then, so we are returning the Canarble wagon. At least the introduction of the Canarble wagon and the idea of the Canarble wagon. We are returning that now to right at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. We have to get through the news and through all of those kinds of things, because that's appropriate to get through the news. It's not appropriate in any way, shape, or form to do it during the news. I was told by a number of different...
Ice clanking and a cocktail while managers. We're delivering horrible news from around the world.
Well, you know, for years, Richard Roper is stepping in the studio. Hello. For years, it was our newsman who was the proprietor of the Canarvel wagon. Right? He was mixing the drinks.
Well, you know, that's the problem with this new generation. They don't remember back in the day when Walter Cronkite would have a bottle of Jim Beam on his desk right there at CBS News, and he'd say, "We're never getting out of Vietnam, damn it!" That was his sign-off. A lot of people don't remember that. And that's the way it is.
Right. Only on Fridays, though. Yeah. Right. With his tie, he's disheveled, his hair all kind of
Uncle Walter,
up.
Get your own uncle! Little-known facet of his career. The other 58 years, he was a genius. They tried that 1 year at CBS.
So we're back, and Georges Trois is here. It's a fancy French restaurant, and they're going to be plying their wares. But you know, it doesn't stop us from just making a cocktail on our own Canarvel wagon. It's going back to the old school way of doing it.
I kind of like it
that way. You know, because I love when the restaurants come in and they want to make something nice and all that, and tell, you know, they're able to tell you about stuff. But really, quite honestly, the Canarvel wagon was not meant to be fancy. The Canarvel wagon is meant to, you know,
some brown water.
It's not the Canarvel carriage. It's a wagon. It's in the name.
Right. So
it is always fun seeing people walk through the halls for the first time, and they get past your office and they go, "Wait, is that really the Canarvel wagon?" Yeah, that's it. There's only about 30 bottles of booze on it.
I looked on the new when the new management came in, and this has happened to me throughout my career, because I've been through, I don't know, 5 or 6 management changes.
You
over
threw
the
a
years.
Coat over it,
yeah, or new ownership, you know, over the years. And they came in and they were like, "Oh, well, we don't allow this in the office," and we're like, "Well, it's." I swear to God, I said this to the guy. I go, "You know what? It's actually grandfathered in. It's in my contract. I got it. It was part of the whole deal." And they go, oh, all right. Well, okay.
That was easy.
Yeah. That was amazingly easy. And they walked away. I don't know. These guys seem a little smarter. All right. Hold on 1 second. Let's check in with Lauren Lapka. What's happening on the roads and in the skies?
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokon Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, we'll do that. Checking in at
number five.
I woke up this morning to an email from Richard Roper about this and couldn't believe it. O.J. Simpson had to weigh in on the fight in the NFL last night.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. He did. Now, if you didn't see this, it's Myles Garrett, who is he's a Cleveland Brown.
A star, one of the best defensive players in football, potentially defensive player of the year candidate.
He's behind on that ballot now.
Yeah, I think he can just cross his name off.
he rips the helmet off the Pittsburgh quarterback, then uses it as a weapon against the head of the Pittsburgh quarterback.
Who had dealt with concussion earlier in the year.
Right? Wow. So, what was OJ's reaction in this series of videos he posted?
Look, all I know is this. The minute Mason went after the man's helmet with his foot in his groin, it's on. I'm hearing all these announcers saying that Garrett should be suspended. Maybe he should. But when a guy's trying to get your helmet off your head, and that's where it started, white with his foot in your groin, it's on. I'm just saying.
When the waiter shows up at your strange wife's house with the glasses.
What do you think paying for that condo?
And standing at the door thinking he's going to get a little something inside the house.
It's on.
It's on.
It's amazing.
Wait, there's more.
Garrett, you're 280 pounds. You don't need a helmet to take care of a quarterback. And Pouncey, you're going to get that helmet, which made no sense at all. What bothered me a little bit, I got to say, was hearing all the announcers become prosecutors and talk about criminal activity and
flashback.
Prosecuting and all of that, and claiming they never saw this before. Come on. Anybody who's been around football has seen this. We've seen it in training camp. It's hot.
Who hasn't seen a bloody death scene before? We've seen it.
Those damn prosecutors. Oh, he's bringing trouble.
And those detectives, they're racist.
But I am baffled by one point. Why is it the guy who initiated all the helmet crap, the guy who, after they were separated and Myles Garrett was being shoved away from him, continued the aggression that led to the additional conflict? Why isn't his name mentioned in any of the suspensions? Somebody have to explain that to me.
Someone, please explain that to OJ. The most important thing right now
that baffles me is like when Ronald said, "Don't kill me," was I supposed to stop? He said it first.
It baffled him. It baffled him why the police thought he was the murderer.
Amazing.
Even though he wrote a book called If I Did It, This Is How I Would Have Done It.
I mean, you can draw all sorts of comparisons. He's making Mason Rudolph like the
bad guy.
The bad guy. Right. Anybody who saw that saw a gigantic man attacking a quarterback after he sacked him.
It's just a helmet. Can't do that much damage.
It's on.
It's on.
I used to love when OJ, we had all these series of OJ 911 calls. He would call 911 all the time. Hey, it's me. Like they knew him.
Checking in.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Amazing.
I think OJ might have had a cocktail right there. And listen, I can't judge that either because we were, you know, it was bad.
Who
for
feels
us
comfortable living with this man? Who is housing OJ Simpson?
Hmm? Well, who's you know, because he's got a girlfriend, right?
He's always got a girlfriend.
Yeah. So let's just stop and think about that for a second. And then do you call your parents? I found the perfect guy.
He's a little bit older.
He says he played football.
He's kind of he's kind of famous. I think you're gonna, Dan. I think you're really gonna like him.
You love Naked Gun.
Number four,
Sesame Street kicks off its 50th season tomorrow, and they still haven't showered those kids.
Oh my goodness!
Oh, what?
In the open, those kids are still. They got the kids are still look a little grimy. In the open, so Dave Grohl is going to help celebrate the milestone. Oh. The Foo Fighter. Join Muppets Big Bird and Elmo to sing a song about making friends. Here we go.
Here we go.
We're on our way.
It's an amazing trip.
Across the USA.
So many neighborhoods to greet. Hello there.
And friends are
across America.
Okay. All right. That's enough of that.
Those politician songs that we were playing the other day.
And then Courtney Love sued, claiming Kurt came up with the original melody for that.
Okay.
I like that little tune. Come on.
Okay. All right. Checking it. Here's the problem. Let's just call it what it is.
What is it?
That was producer preference right there is what that was. Because you cannot go. If Dave Grohl literally sneezes and it gets caught on tape, we have to put it in the top five at five. Because our producer, Brian, is one of the great foo-fighting fighters of foo.
That is true.
Yeah.
He's chuckling in there.
Yeah.
He knows.
Yeah. There's certain things, whether it's a Prince or a Foo Fighter or a Nirvana.
Yeah, that's true.
Anniversary or anything. We had to celebrate. If I'm not mistaken, I think that we had to celebrate Dave Grohl's graduation from high school.
The former producer, I think a producer every now and again can say, "Screw everybody, I'm putting my touch on this."
All right, okay, thank you, Kevin.
Number three,
Kathy Lee Gifford. Oh boy, this is
again.
Twice
in 1 week.
Yeah, well, wow. She got a book out, right? But she went on Dr. Oz. See, this is the problem. This is not a good combination to put Kathy Lee Gifford, who wants to talk about all of her junk, on with Dr. Oz, who all he does is talk about people's junk. So you know this is not going to end well. She had to have a conversation about how her life has changed since she left the Today Show. She moved to Nashville, Tennessee, I'm assuming for the tax break like everybody else did, and maybe to do some more Christian music, right? She
does a lot of that.
She does a lot of that, yeah.
She went from Kathy Lee Epstein to, at one point, now saying... She's been doing that for years, though.
Yeah, right? Forever.
Loves
those
gospel songs, Christian songs.
Sure. So she said, what is it like now? She's a widow, obviously. Her husband died 4 years ago, Frank Gifford. And she's back to dating for the first time in 33 years. And she... Been on a few dates. Yeah, she's been on a few dates. But she's not exactly sure how to do this anymore.
I'm a load for any man. And I am. I know that. I mean, they get. One guy I dated said she's a bucking bronco.
That's a good description.
I'm going to take that as a compliment.
But you did go on a date recently, and we heard all about it.
Yeah, I went on a few dates with a very sweet guy, but we weren't right for each other. So I had a lot of fun, did a lot of dancing. You dance everywhere in Nashville. And my life before, nobody in Greenwich, Connecticut goes to honky tonks. And dances.
No.
They don't do it. They're behind their gates, looking at their hedge fund money. And God bless them. I wish I had some hedge fund money. I don't. If I could find a hedge fund guy and his money and he loves Jesus and he has his own teeth, I'm in.
That's a long way of selling yourself. I'm available if anybody who's really rich out there wants to bring me on board.
Yeah, that's exactly what Jesus would do, too. I'm sure that she seems to really be filling that. Listen, I need a rich guy to take care of me because you know what I am? I'm a load and...
Fucking bronco.
Yeah, that's what I am.
Not sure if she gets the full meaning of that.
Yeah, probably not the best thing to describe yourself after a date.
Five stars.
Oh, God. Oh, God. All right.
Wow.
Here we go.
Number two.
YouTube comedians Taylor and Miles are on a mission to bring more laughter into the world. And they're doing just that with a new clip that's going viral in the wake of the world discovering that Generation Z has a major beef with their grandparents' generation, the baby boomers. They decided to illustrate another generational divide. Now that millennials are parents themselves, the way that they're raising their kids looks quite a bit different than the way that they were raised by their boomer parents.
And that's how the birds and the bees work, Keyston. I know a lot of the other second graders probably haven't gotten this talk yet from their parents, but I trust you.
The birds and the bees? Don't they teach them that in school? Why do I have to tell them? Fine. Michael, get on over here. We gotta have a talk. Yeah, so your mother wants me to talk to you about this. So, sometimes when a boy, just tell your mother that I talked to you. How does that sound? All right, I'm gonna go get a beer.
That's the way that I think we were raised.
The other difference would be the boomer comedians were funny.
I would think that more so millennials would be like, here, just watch this video on YouTube about it. You'll learn all you need to know.
Or the kids will show it to the parents. You know you're supposed to be doing it this way because you're doing it wrong. And do you know that Kathy Lee Gifford is a bucking bronco?
Oh, God.
Just give them the bucking bronco talk.
All right, is there one more of this? Is it good? Because it was not good. All right, go ahead.
Hey, coach, come over here. He pulls that tomahawk swing thing again. I want you to bench him. He needs to learn a lesson.
Coach, can you put my son in the pitch? No, he hasn't gotten a chance to pitch all game. Some of the other kids have been pitching, and I think my son should get to pitch, too.
Okay. All right. Thanks, gentlemen. All right. Now, and also a new feature on Fridays is for the top five at five, because the Carnarvon Wagon starts rolling at 5 o'clock, right after the news at 5 o'clock. We will also now be introducing the top five clip of the week, which will play after the bottom of the hour news.
Thanks.
How about that?
Ooh, fancy.
And then we Georges Trois or whatever restaurant will be here. They'll be here at about, right after 5:45. How about that? We like that?
Beautiful.
Love
all
it.
Right. Now, and we just designed this. We spent literally minutes working on this. So we have it all down. All right, we'll close everything up. But first, let's find out from Kim Gordon what is happening in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on 720 WGN. It's the Rokan Show. It's the end of the Top 5 on a Friday. New Friday Top 5 format, where the Carnarvon Wagon rolls right at the top of the hour, right when we get it at the top of the hour after the news, about 8 minutes afterwards. I hate talking in radio talk. Mm-hmm. I just do. Mm-hmm. Then we start the top five at five at about 5:17.
Did you forget the order already?
Yes. And then we get the four through five through two.
The train of thought just left the station.
And then right here, right now, we do the on Fridays, the new feature, the top five cut of the week.
The whole week.
The whole week.
Best clip of the week.
Best clip of the week.
Like it.
Which would be
number one.
Carmen Electra's now viral interview from the WGN Morning News.
Oh, yes, I was. I was there at the Bulls games, watching those iconic Bulls players, Michael Jordan, of course, Dennis, Scottie Pippen. I mean, Chicago was so proud. The world loved the Bulls, and that was just, wow, what a moment to be there. And, I mean, to be honest, it was insane being there for when they won their last finals as, you know, the group.
It's fantastic.
What do we think is going on there?
She segued into that part of her life where she's like hot Thanksgiving drunken step aunt that everybody has at the extended party. Who's that?
That's Uncle June's fourth wife.
Hey.
She found out what edibles were.
No one's eating my ham. I bought it at the store.
They actually pulled me into the dressing room, and Michael Jordan popped a bottle of champagne, and he's pouring it in my mouth, and I'm like, is this really happening? This is insane. Yeah, it was. Those were good. Those were some really good times. Had a lot of fun.
She does. She has. Wow. She also has that smoker laugh too.
You two were around that whole era a ton. The Bulls. You guys ever see her just around?
I'll tell you what. She was a bucking bronco back in the day. I kid you not.
Yeah, we did actually see her.
No, but I mean, like around the United Center stuff, right? Wasn't she always kind of just lingering?
For a while there, you know, we saw Madonna. We hung out for about half a season at the UC when she was friends with Dennis.
Boy, Dennis. Dennis was the Pete Davidson of his era.
You got an album coming out? All right, go out with Dennis Rodman.
That's pretty great. That's
you got a new movie?
True. Right.
Go out with Dennis Rodman.
Oh, my God, it's absolutely true. What was the... There was a nightclub up on Kingsbury next to the strip club up there that was the place...
I wouldn't know anything.
That was the hot bar, you know, late night nightclub for the Bulls and for Rodman and all those people, and they were in there like every night.
That was their hangout?
Yeah. Yeah, that's no longer there.
What an era.
Yeah, but it was that was the thing. And it was, and back then, there wasn't anything up there. You know, there wasn't a Whole Foods or a Starbucks.
You knew where you were going. The cabbies knew where they were.
You had to know where, because it was literally at the end of dead train tracks. And you had to go up there and then you got out.
That's right.
And then it was like
it's right by that Whole Foods is there now.
Yeah.
Right there, that exact area.
Exactly.
There,
yeah. And it was, that was the, and, you know, Dennis was making out with everyone at the
no
bar.
Cell phones. You know, so you had a kind of immunity.
Nobody knew where you were.
Can you imagine the viral videos?
Although I cannot wait for, this is one of the most anticipated Netflix series they're dropping, is all this unseen footage of the Bulls 90s run that they're going to release like in an 8-part series.
Yeah.
I believe next year, Rich.
Next year.
We should have Lou Kanellis in, because he was the traveling guy. From, you know, for what eventually became Comcast Sports Network, he was the guy that traveled with them all over. He was basically the sixth, you know, Bull. He literally slept. They would, sometimes Jordan would rent one of those tour buses and move guys around. When they were in New York, he would want to go. They were playing New York one night and Philadelphia the next. And he wanted to go to Atlantic City.
Yep.
So he got a tour bus.
Exactly. Yep.
And they all they spent the whole night in the casino and then would sleep on the tour bus on their way, you know, to Philadelphia.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And it was woo! The stories out of that.
Oh my god. I need to sit down with Mr. Kanellis for a minute and get some stories.
Yeah. Now I don't think you could say this, but back then they were referred to in Chicago as the Black Beatles. Right? Because they were just, because you couldn't, if Jordan was out on the street, he'd get mobbed. You know, mm-hmm. Pippen, the same thing.
I remember as a kid going to the Berto Center trying to get autographs and standing by the gate because some of them would stop while the gate opened and Jordan would, his blacked out Corvette, and he'd speed through the gate would get stuck. So he get the gate stuck up for all his teammates. So if they wanted, they could just go right past all us little kids. Mr. Longley, can you sign my hat?
Mr. Longley. All right, mate. All right. Settle down, mate.
Sign my starter jacket.
Right, yes. For sure. It's very satiny.
Totally.
Oh, the 90s.
Oh, yeah. It was really quite a moment. And, Carmen Electra. Well, we wish her the best. Let's just hope she's not at any of our Thanksgivings.
Iconic. There are like 14 letters in it when she said it.
Yeah, it takes 8 minutes to say a word.
Well, we wish everybody this. All right, we're good. Let's. You know what we have to do? We have to close this thing up now.
Right. The top five at five.
Well.
Now it's time for the traffic and the weather. Here she is, Lauren Lapka. That's absolutely right. Okay. Now the second part of the Carnarvon Wagon rolls out. I'm going to have to email everybody the new schedule for 5 o'clock.
I'm learning as we go, too. This is fun.
Yeah, it was like a word problem on a test. Yes. I was having flashbacks to high school.
I myself am also learning because I did not know once we came out of the top five clip of the week what I was supposed to do. Other than to say, because Lauren has to do the traffic and the weather. All right. Anyway, these are internal problems. You don't have to worry about that. The Carnarvon Wagon continues. The Carnarvon Wagon is rolling. It is out. Georges Trois is here. And that's not a guy. That's actually a restaurant. Actually, Xander Klein is the operations and beverage director there. And congratulations. This is Winnetka, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. This is not a deposition. You can just go ahead. It's all right. And there is. This obviously is French, right? Or it's kind of
French-based.
A whole thing. It's you got a gigantic the chef you've got is a complete badass.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we're running three different restaurants out of one space, which is pretty intense.
So the idea here is that there are three different experiences people can have.
Yeah. There's basically three different rooms that we have. We have our a la carte brasserie, which is called Eboye, where just pretty typical restaurant experience, a little bit more laid back.
Mm-hmm.
Music can get a little bit more jovial, a little bit louder, have a little bit more fun. And we have a separate area called Silencieux, which is our three course prefix area. We offer like a set of options for appetizer, entree, and dessert.
Okay.
And then
there's a lot of French here. You know, I took 14 years of French, and I don't know if I'd be able to order off your menu, but go ahead.
And then you've got Georges Trois, which is kind of the big daddy, which is 12 courses, prefix set price. We only have 5 or 6 tables in the room, and that's where a chef himself comes out and serves you each course.
Nice. So, and it's a course piece like you would get at any of the fancy those fancy places, right? Is it 12? How many?
It's 12 courses.
12 courses, right. Oh, and then you get the... See, that's the thing. You know, you stop, and this is a mistake that I make whenever I do this, which is rare, but when I do it, is that I start eating, and then I'm drinking, and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to get full, because everything is so small. And then by the time you get to, like, the eighth course, the eighth thing, you're like, oh my god, I'm getting kind of full. I don't know what to do. You know, because like I'll eat the bread, or I'll do something else, or I'll, you know, I run out and get a McDonald's. I come back. I don't know. There are things that happen there.
That's deceptive.
So, yeah. No, it's. I mean, this is and Michael Lekowitz, right? Is the chef, and
yeah.
He's been he's been here. He's been around here before, right?
Yeah, so he, prior to the three concepts that we have now, that was called Restaurant Michael, and I was there for 14 years.
Right.
And prior to that, was at La Francais and a couple other places well.
Just a little, yes. Not
nice.
Pretty nice resume right there. And the people they love. And this is in Winnetka, downtown Winnetka, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah. Okay, very good. Yeah, and you brought drinks with you?
I did. We brought a little trio of cocktails for you guys. First one that you've got in the martini glass is actually a spirit-free cocktail, so there's no booze in there.
What is the point of that? Hold on.
You gotta offer something to everybody, you know, and Chef is
it's got a sprig of something. This tastes like Thanksgiving.
Nice. Wow. Some rosemary in there, yeah.
That's nice.
How's she doing? What is the
which one has alcohol in it?
the next two have booze.
Okay. All right. Okay, now
I apologize for these heathens, Xander. I'm still enjoying the spirit free.
No, it's something with this appears to be mint in here?
Yeah, the mint is what we're calling Winnetka Nights. It's actually made with 28 Mile Vodka, which is distilled out in Highwood, Illinois.
Right, just north of you.
And then we make in-house lemon cordial and mint.
Ooh, super fresh.
Simple. Very nice, very refreshing.
Yeah, the 28 Mile is great. It's a great concept up there.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Highwood, I like it.
You know, the North Shore is just becoming so... It's interesting that obviously, you know, Michael's been in Winnetka forever, right? But
yeah.
Winnetka is becoming one of those restaurant destinations now. Highwood, of course, is a restaurant destination. So if you're in the city, people, you know, are shooting up as opposed to coming down, right?
Yeah, we're seeing more people come out to the burbs now, definitely.
All right. And then finally, this thing's got an orange peel in it, and it looks very familiar to me.
Yeah, it should be. It's a classic Negroni.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
So that's your heavy hitter, and that we're making that with Journeyman's Field Gin. So it's made in Three Oaks, Michigan, and then nice. It was actually done in celebration of the 125th anniversary of the Field Museum here.
Oh, wow.
So trying to represent some local or localish spirits.
Yeah, nice Midwestern flavor to all of this, absolutely. So to speak.
It's great. It's great. Congratulations on all of this. And you guys opened last year with this three-stage concept?
It was earlier this year, actually. Yeah. I think back in May.
Okay. All right. I feel like I'm an attorney right now asking the questions. I'm sorry. In your earlier deposition, you did say that it was actually last year. And you've gotten all kinds of awards. I should mention this. Awarded the Restaurant of the Year by Jean Bachet and been awarded 4 stars from Phil Vitale. Now, if there's a guy who knows about the restaurant, Phil Vitale may be the best restaurant critic in America. He never, I have never, ever, 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 ever been to a place that he didn't recommend that wasn't great.
Yep.
So congratulations to him.
Thank you. Yeah. That was great.
Congratulations to you guys. And all right, so there are a couple of rules. No hats or denim. So I can't go tonight. I know that you want. I know I was going to go at the 12, but you know, I can't go.
Hats for gentlemen. I like that.
Yes,
but does that mean I can't? I probably can't wear my baseball hat. Though.
It's probably
not. No sleeveless shirts. Bummer.
Well, what about in the more casual place? Can you? Is it casual?
Yeah, jeans. You can wear jeans. Something in the brasserie.
Yeah, that's nothing. That's like the new uniform now, especially on the North Shore. And the North Shore, you have to have. You got to have your jeans, but pressed, and then a Brooks Brothers shirt, and then like a Patagonia
vest
right over that, and then you're there, right?
That's it.
Some tasseled shoes. See, that's the thing. They still haven't got
shoes.
They haven't got over the tassel yet. They got to get. They got. And well, Matt and Winnetka, they got to stop with the tassel. I don't know.
That's the look. He'll fit right in.
All right, Georges Trois, and that's spelled T-R-O-I-S, by the way. And it means George.
Congratulations.
III. And that's what a thing.
Why don't you go for un deux as well? Quatre gets really tricky. Sound it out, quatre. Be like Carmen Electra. Take your time. Quatre. Cinq.
Xander, I'm sorry you had to be here for all of this. George III, and that's because you've got the three different restaurants, the three different concepts within the same restaurant, essentially.
Yeah, and a little ode to Chef's uncle as well.
He's got three generations, right? Yeah. A grandfather and an uncle who are also chefs. So he's sort of he's Michel Letoit.
Thank you. Did you take French too? In
dated somebody once.
It always ends with Rich. I dated someone once.
Claimed to be.
So you had to be. So you had to learn French to date. That must have been
that's
the
where
most.
She lived.
Rich will be like, I know jiu-jitsu. It's like I dated someone once. What?
It's just yeah. It turns out. Educate yourself.
It turns out that when I was in high school or you were in high school, it was like, you know what you got to do? You got to take Spanish instead of French. We were like, of course not. This is the classical language. If you learn, but lingua franca, French is spoken all over the world. Yeah. There's one place French is
language,
spoken. Right. Paris is the one place it's spoken, and not even there.
I took French because the French teacher was notoriously, she was the better of the two in terms of field trips. She just took us to French restaurants. So we were eating crepes and delicious food. I'm like, I'm going to French.
See, that's not.
I forgot everything I learned, so.
Right. I don't remember any Spanish either.
I just don't think that it has worked out.
Right, it hasn't done really anything for me. It got me on a few awesome field trips in middle school, but now I couldn't tell you anything.
I did 12 years from grade school through high school. They made us take it in first grade where I went. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you'd think by fourth grade, you'd be totally, fluent, right? You'd be ready to go. Now, when I got to college, I had to take a test, to see for the language requirement. I think you're going back to 101. I go, what? I'm like, what?
I somehow got voted as the French club president, and I was, flunking tests. Yeah, because, my friends and my sister was, in the French club. She's like, okay, everybody vote. I don't know if they're trolling me or punking me. They're like, Kevin, you've won the vote for French club president. I'm like, what?
I got
a D on the last French test.
I've got the classic Midwestern white guy high school yearbook, French club president, football 1-2. AV Club 1, just the first year. You can see all the things he quit, by junior year.
All right. All right, well, you should go, Kev, you should put on real pants, put on your big boy pants, and you should go to George Trois and review it for us.
Can they spot me $215 for the 12-course prefix? Then I'm in.
Yeah, but I think that's $215 for that kind of a thing. That's a deal.
The best.
Because you go to these other places, and that's, they're talking about, you're talking about five bills, my friend. And that doesn't even count the booze.
I'll give a full review.
All right. Xander, thanks so much for being with us, man. Xander Klein, who's the operations director at Georges Trois in Winnetka. We've got the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in 2 minutes. I'm afraid I'm going to have to lodge a protest here. As much as I love this song, I think it's a little early to bring it out.
Still a jam, though.
Yeah.
If you're going to play a Christmas song, might as well be this one.
Right. This is the only one I play, by the way. I have a CD from when we had CDs in my car, even though I don't think I have a CD player in my car, that is a Christmas music CD, and it only has this song on it. It just keeps repeating over and over again.
Plays on repeat.
Oh, right. Gosh. So I can make people feel as though I'm in the Christmas mood, but I'm really not, because really it's simply the best.
And this Christmas will be a very special Christmas for me.
All right. I don't know. The war on Thanksgiving continues.
Oh, boy.
It's tough to watch. It's tough to see.
Well, listen, John Legend just did a new recording of that song that Ro loves so much, where he says, we didn't have to call it Christmas. I don't want to impose my beliefs on yours. Yeah, we'll get those lyrics later.
That song is so...
What has happened to us? We're both too weak and too mean all at the same time. There's no middle
ground anymore.
Everything
is extreme,
yeah.
Yeah. You're mean because we're weak. It's deep.
Wow. Oh, Kev, the drinks started. Wow. he becomes like a philosopher, like a Johnny Walker philosopher is what he becomes. Oh my gosh! We were watching some of Kevin's game last night. We were out at a nightclub.
Well, I was just offering a nice young lady to purchase an adult pop for her. Mm-hmm. Next thing I know, her 6'4" Russian boyfriend walked over. Oh, like, take it easy, Vladimir. I'm like, forget this. Everybody at this bar has like a 6'5" billionaire Russian boyfriend. I'm like, I'm gonna get a bottle of vodka smashed over my head.
It was like everyone was above 6 feet tall. I felt extremely short.
Yeah, we think we ran into the Russian women's national basketball team and/or Victoria's Secret models.
Right. Wow. You can, and now you see exactly how this works. I just want to point this out. You want to talk about Russian collusion? There's your Russian collusion right there.
I was after that, Mom. I'm like, I'm not talking to anyone in here. Everybody's connected to somebody somehow, a powerful person, a rich person, whatever.
That one's getting thrown in the eyes towel to that here. One. Yeah,
mm-hmm. We did see some true love happen though when that blonde was making out with a man old enough to be her grandpa, and then they walked out together. Guys, it's true love. This place brings people. together.
Did they leave together?
They left together.
It was one of those cases where the guy had to be 80, but he was dancing on the dance floor, and he had nothing but like tall Russian models around him.
He was like the perfect guy for one of those little blue pill commercials. You know, he's just like dancing all over the place.
But everybody loved that guy. This was a different guy I'm talking about. When we walked in, they were like a lot of leather pants and leather jackets and slicked back hair. We could smell the perfume and cologne from the two. I'm like, this is true love right there. This is beautiful.
Do you know where Paul Manafort is in prison?
We got that a lot last night.
Sounds like you were in a Taken movie.
I was.
Taken 5. All right, you took my wife. You took my daughter. You took the nanny. Who else are you going to take?
Take my dog.
Now you listen to me. Yeah, we know you got a set of skills. You're not that good at protecting them. You can rescue them, but you're not good at protecting them. What? They took my wallet? They stole my ID. Where are you guys?
Basically, yeah. It's basically like the Russian consulate just opened up on Rush Street.
Every woman there was way out of my league. But after a while, I'm like, this girl's all alone by the bar. I'll say hello to her. And then Vladimir, the 6'4 Russian boyfriend, walked over.
Man.
I don't want any trouble.
She was a plant, just not for you.
Right, exactly.
Third ranked heavyweight contender, right. WBC, fighting on Showtime next Saturday.
Right,
he's Kev's like, I know that guy.
I know that guy.
Sergey Klitschko.
Yeah.
The lost brother.
57 wins, 24 losses, 7 involuntary manslaughters on his record. Guy's been, he once beat Trevor Burbick. He's still fighting.
He killed a man in the ring.
Yeah, exactly. And lost that fight still. It was a draw, split decision. God. You're taking these kids, bro. Jeez.
It was fun. It was awesome. There's a great band.
I think we should go there again tonight. Okay. And so to see how the Roger Stone verdict is being played there. I would imagine they're probably the drinks are at half mast. It's terrible what they do to Roger.
Wow.
Okay. Did I mention that the Knurble Wagon has an event coming up? Knurble Express. Friday, December 6th, presented by American Sale. The fun happens at the Tinley Park Convention Center. Come on out. Bring a toy for Toys for Tots. Ooh. That's the whole idea here, is we're raising money for the toys. We're raising toys and money for the Toys for Tots, folks. There's going to be tasty treats from Sweet Alley's Gluten-Free Bakery. Legendary Hall of Famer Ed Obradovich is going to be our special guest.
Oh, awesome.
Nice.
And we have a lot of other surprises along the way, and of course a concert as well.
Nice.
So
it's only 3 weeks away.
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy,
oh my gosh,
isn't it?
That's so weird.
So come on, come on. We'll explain how you can get there, which is you don't need a ticket this year.
Oh,
we're just
nice and easy.
Come on in.
Okay,
just bring a toy. That's all we ask.
All right,
or 10 or 15 or whatever you got. Lauren Lapka's watching the roads and the skies.
This week on Chicago's Best Fire Up the Smoker, the team is cooking up mouth-watering recipes on Chicago's Best Barbecue Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
All right, my friends, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Anna worked earlier today, so she's off this program. Mr. Richard Roper is here. Hey. Kevin and Lauren are inhabiting the studio with us. And if you've noticed that there is a different sort of sound to the program today, it's because we were all out real late last night. Okay, so I want to play this Carmen Electra thing that we didn't get to yesterday. This is, again, from the WGN-TV Morning News, I think on Wednesday, right? She appeared? Or yesterday? Yesterday. Okay. Whew. We ran into Pat Tomasulo last night. He was still talking about this.
I think half the WGN TV station was at this event last night.
Yeah. So there was
Lourdes Duarte.
Yes. And she was showing baby pictures.
Yeah. Ooh, so yes. Cute.
Nice. Yeah. Adorable. I mean, you knew that was, you know, come on.
Absolutely.
Come on. Anyway, here's now that's not the point. Here is Carmen Electra on the WGN TV morning news. She tried to sort of explain why she was in Chicago in the 90s, and she clearly couldn't remember that she had been in Chicago in the 1990s. And you could tell that the whole desk of the GN Morning News was like, oh, we don't know what to do with her. Is she drunk? Is she high? Is she just addled?
And where was she? She's on a satellite feed from somewhere.
Yeah,
satellite. Promoting feed. Something.
Yes, she's promoting
a satellite
Tubi, the streaming service. Gotcha. Tubi, T-U-B-I, which she did not know much about, as it turned.
So they were debuting that the same week Disney Plus came out. That's a good timing.
I've embraced being on Baywatch. It was the number one television show in the world for years, many, many, many years. It gave me worldwide exposure. I learned how to swim better.
That's fantastic. Well, Hefner gave her exposure too around that time.
Yeah, well, as it turns out,
I wasn't the best swimmer, you know, and I'm still not the best swimmer. But they really made us do all of our own stunts. And so it was a very physical show.
Yeah.
Every day going, when you go to work, you're going to the beach.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, running in slow motion, really difficult. Every day.
They had me diving off of speeding boats and... Yeah. Jumping, just doing the craziest stuff. But I mean, hey, that was I really wanted that job. Auditioned, got the part, and I, you know,
all right.
Went in hard.
The rest is history.
Oh my God, Larry! I mean, Larry needs hazard pay right there. Yeah, and the rest is history. Listen, we've got to go
over to weather.
Wait, but here's the part where her whole job was to explain Tubi, this streaming service, and well,
what is Tubi, right, streaming services, Carmen?
You can watch TV on Roku, Fire TV, Comcast, Xfinity, or you can just go to Tubi.tv for more information and find out everything you want to know about Tubi.
Okay, that sounds good.
What I love about Tubi is the fact that it's free. Tubi is free, which is amazing. And it has more content than Netflix.
That went really well for the guys who are paying the bill at Tubi.
Go online to learn more.
Right.
Who's Google the one person that can articulate our vision in a way? Hillary Clinton, should we call her with? A Rhodes Scholar.
Some guy.
Carmen Electra seems to be available. She's shooting a cameo right now.
Dreaming of the Baywatch days. Yeah. Carmen Electra, bring her in.
Amazing. Pam Anderson didn't return their calls.
That's one of those CEOs that was
had a lifetime crush on, right, Carmen Electra.
You know who we need for this is Carmen Electra.
We have to have dinner with her to talk about it in the Les Moonves suite. Just kidding. Yeah, okay.
And a poster over on his bedroom wall. Someday I'll be CEO and I'll get Carmen Electra.
I
used to have a poster of you over my bed. You're perfect for Tubi.
That's so iconic. Oh my gosh.
You're exactly what we're looking for in Tubi.
Prince gave me my name and he produced. Helped. We wrote together, and he wrote a lot as well.
Postcards. What did they write?
Brought in a lot of other talent. Played the instruments and signed me to Paisley Park Records. I opened up for Prince at 20 years old. It was wow.
Yes. That's exactly what I thought.
That was the move for Prince, too. Sign somebody to a label deal. Jeez. Can't you just take her to one of the finer restaurants in the Twin Cities?
No, that was his thing, though.
Get your record deal. That's Vanity 6. That's Apollonia. Carmen Electra.
Oh. Oh, my God.
Wow.
What is wrong with her? What could it possibly be?
Can't imagine.
We haven't even heard her name in so long, right?
I know.
Has she been in anything other than representing Tubi? No, the week Disney Plus came out.
Can you? She was in Scary Movie. How long ago was that?
A long time ago.
Years ago.
What? Let's. Can you go back to the Tubi thing? Because I love this answer. And here's Dean Richards really trying to get the best. You know, it's like he's a broadcaster.
He's a pro. He's a pro. Yeah, he's help her get the information.
Right. This is her whole reason for being on there. On the GN Morning News yesterday was to promote this Tubi product. So he's like, well, she hasn't gotten to that yet. She hasn't gotten to anything yet, so I better get that in because that's what they wanted. And
what is Tubi streaming services, Carmen?
What?
You can watch TV on Roku, Fire TV, Comcast, Xfinity, or you can just go to Tubi.tv for more information.
Stop right there. Hold on. The best part of that is she mentioned all the competitors, right? What was she doing there? She was saying you could do, instead of like really articulating, she was like, she had practiced this. Instead of saying, hey, you know, you could go, you know, listen, you could pay money for all of these other services, for Fire TV, you know, for all the rest of it. You pay big money for all of that, or you can go to Tubi for free. Go to Tubi TV and .tv or whatever it is. See, how come I can't even get the name right, and somehow I've done a better job selling it than she did?
I'm at TubiTV.com. Some really incredible films here. Turtles Tale 2, A Country Christmas Story.
Oh, I love that one.
First Lady Part 2, Maria's Revenge. So a lot of great flicks here on Tubi TV.
Is there an entire Carmen Electra package?
I'm trying to find that out. I'm looking.
The Carmen's bundle? Favorites,
right?
Carmen, Carmen's Corner. This is where Carmen tells you her favorite movies.
I'd like to know what Carmen Electra's favorites are too. I wonder if she likes that movie I like with Bryce, who's the stepdad who is watching his stepdaughter wash the car.
Sure, she
wasn't in it? Oh boy.
I can't remember the name of that.
You can watch Seagal and Van Damme in Sniper Special Ops.
Oh, you gave that no stars.
I gave that. I'm not watching it.
Not watching.
I'm too busy.
All right.
Based off some extensive research by our production team here, there are 9 Carmen Electra productions on TubiTV.com.
Nice.
So if you're a big Carmen Electra
mogul.
Fan,
she's a mogul.
She's a TubiTV mogul.
Wow.
I was in 9 movies? I only remember like 2 of them.
Where's Thanksgiving this year?
She's in that Two-Headed Shark Attack.
Oh.
That's the most downloaded.
The Two-Headed Shark.
Two-Headed Shark Attack, yeah.
Much better than Sharknado 5.
Yes. Well,
I want to compare the genre.
All right. That's all I can. Okay. I feel so badly for our brothers and sisters in sound and in lights over there at Bradley Place that had to put up with this.
They get 5 minutes. What do you want? Like a nice, clean promotional interview with the poster of the thing behind and the 3 Charlie's Angels tell you how much they loved working with one another and they had more fun offset than they did when they were filming? Or a train wreck that goes viral? That's morning television gold. They know how to mine it over there.
All right.
That's a good point.
Larry, I just felt Larry's pain. All right, let's do this. Let's stop down, and then we've got Kim's News at the bottom, and then we've got, you know what? I'll tell you what's going to be. Who's going to be here? We've got a Globetrotter. Big Easy Lofton is going to be here. He's hosting the Emmys. Now, I don't know how that all works, but we'll find out from him. Stay right here. It's Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Anna off for the rest of the day. She was working earlier today. In for John Williams, who was in for Steve Cochran. So, as we mentioned earlier, it's like a rock slide.
Musical chairs.
Of radio talent today here at the WGN. And we should mention that we do have a Harlem Globetrotter in the building. And he's going to be joining us coming up in a few minutes. He holds the record. It's like a world record for the longest.
Hook shot.
The longest hook shot, which is basically almost the entire length of the court.
That's crazy.
Was it 77 feet, something like that?
72 feet.
How do you do that?
And he holds the record for the farthest blindfolded basketball hook shot ever.
What?
At 58 feet. So he made the hook shot. He was like, let's make this a little more difficult.
It's So that's coming up in just a few minutes. What I did want to tell you, though, which is important, is I want to, the whole week we're telling you about how you can join us coming up on December 6th. It's the big Toys for Tots event that we do every year. It's a Christmas show. It's going to feature the Ides of March again. It's at the Tinley Park Convention Center 20 years ago. This is almost 20th anniversary of us being back there for the first time, opening up the Tinley Park Convention Center and doing this with the Ides of March. It's a concert. It's a show. It's a very, very fun event for everybody who wants to attend. There'll be very light on the swears, so the kids could probably come as well. there will be alcohol served, people. I am not going to... not going to lie to you. There will be alcohol at this event. It will be for purchase, though. That's an important point.
And food to purchase as well.
We would. And there will be some free stuff from Sweet Alley's, gluten-free sure. stuff, mm-hmm. and some other things along the way here. But I have to say, all we're asking is to bring a toy, or two, or ten, as many as you can possibly afford. Give until it hurts. Because what you need to do is you need to be part of a show that is going to produce 2,000 toys. That is our plan. That is our goal, to get 2,000 toys at this show. And that would take us over the 125,000 toy total in the history of this show being involved with Toys for Tots.
Awesome.
So that is what we are looking for.
And there is free parking. I know some people are asking about the parking situation. Ton of parking, and it's free.
Yes. It's so easy too, and it's right off I-80 at Harlem. It's easy to get to. It is really fun. There's a lot of stuff to do now. You got that whole Tinley Park, Orland Park. There's a restaurant scene down there, mm-hmm. or you can go to Frankfurt.
Good little strips of bars and yeah. restaurants. Mm-hmm.
It's a good. Very it's nice. A it's a fun evening
and close train stops if you want to take the metro.
Yeah,
and. The indoor atrium opens at 1:30. I felt so bad last year when we were up north and it was freezing that day. And some of the diehard listeners were, you love them. I mean, they were waiting outside in the cold until they let them in. So, yeah, but no. You don't have to worry about that this year.
No, we have the whole thing worked out. We did read the complaint department had got some feedback based on the size of the event. We went to a place that was a little smaller for the crowd that we had. And we also didn't have a really good place for the toys. So now we got plenty of places for the toys. Plenty of Marines are going to be there, ladies. There's going to be Marines in uniform. If you cannot make it to the show, there's first of all, I'm giving you 3 weeks notice here. So you've got to be whatever you have, cancel it. Surgery, cancel it. Whatever it is, come to the show.
Or just move it up, maybe.
Or back. Move it back.
Okay.
So, because you want to have fun at this particular event.
Yeah, then rest after.
Yes, that's the way I look at
it. It's a free holiday event.
Yes.
You got nothing better going on December 6th.
tell everybody their business. So, I will say that the presentation of the Carnarvon wagon by the United States Marine Corps probably is against the law. There's probably some uniform code of military justice infraction going on here somewhere, but we do it anyway. We do it anyway. And you want to come out and see the real Carnarvon wagon will be there. Because the real Carnarvon wagon is being, you know, it's
a beautiful glory, wagon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get questions about it all the time.
Yeah. Is it real? Yes.
Tell
it's real.
Me about the Carnarvon wagon.
Yeah. People touch it. seriously, like some people come up to it and they think it cures things. It's like Lourdes or something. It's like, you know, you can touch it and then the next thing you know, somebody's putting their pancreas on it.
Well, sometimes we're sitting in the office and the it's not a wall. It's like a big glass window and we'll be talking and you look and it's just somebody like it's a zoo animal. They're just staring outside the glass window looking at the canary. Hello, you can come in and look at it.
I did notice something slightly alarming about this, though. I did notice that somebody I think has been pilfering off of the Carnarvon wagon.
Uh-oh.
Or there's been some after work things happening here. Yeah. I'm just saying.
I have to put one of those ring camera detectors at the front of your office row.
I don't want that. I would prefer not to have any of this recorded. I know we're on the radio and we're recording everything, but still. I've noticed there's a ton of cameras around here.
I know. A lot.
I could see two in my peripheral
two
right
staring
now.
At me right now.
Yeah. So. All right. So that is all coming right. December 6th. Go to WGNRadio.com if you have any questions about it or directions. You need anything there. No tickets are required this year. You just come. You bring a toy. bring two, bring four, whatever you're going to do, and then come on in and enjoy the show. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll all be there. Kevin will be there. Lauren will be there. I'll be there. I will not be dressed as Santa. We do have, as we mentioned, Ed Obradovich is going to be joining us.
Awesome.
Out there. I think if you have not met him, he is an absolute legend and a sweetheart of a guy, despite how he sounds. I know it sounds scary on the radio, but he's just the nicest guy in the world.
He'll have something positive to talk about that day.
Yeah, right. Toys and Christmas and things like that. Yeah. Nice things. Do not mention Mitchell Trubisky. Don't mention Matt Nagy. And especially don't mention Pace, whatever you do. Lauren, what's happening on the roads and in the skies? It's a Rokon show with Anna DeVlantis. Anna's off today. And we have Big Easy Lofton from the Harlem Globetrotters. He's here now. Big Easy, as it turns out, is going to be hosting the Emmys coming up on Saturday, November 16th, which, according to my trusty, dusty watch, is tomorrow.
Yeah, good job. That's a nice watch.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, tomorrow. Tomorrow, 7 o'clock, we're going to get it going. Happy to be in town. You know, the Globetrotters are originally from Chicago, so it's almost like a homecoming. You know, I'm here because of our partnership with our owners, Branson and Silver Dollar City, with the Hershey Family Entertainment. So, happy to be here.
Oh, so I couldn't quite figure out the connection to that.
That's the connection. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So the company that owns the Globetrotters also owns Silver Dollar City.
Yeah. Yeah. Dolly World. A lot of things. They the family's originally from Chicago too.
Yeah.
So So Hershey Family Entertainment.
Wow. Congratulations on that. Congratulations to us on that. All right, so you're Big Easy because you're from the Big Easy. We were just talking about New Orleans during the break there. You're born and raised?
Born and raised in New Orleans. Got with the team after Katrina and been traveling the world, and I love my city. And when I was, it was my first time going anywhere, and all I talked about was New Orleans, the gumbo, the food, So they named me Big Easy because that's all I want to talk about.
I'll bet. All right, so let's... I gotta understand these two records that you hold.
Okay,
because I'm not sure.
Insane.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how this is possible. But okay, you have this. You have the longest hook shot.
Yes, sir.
In basketball history, right?
Yep.
72 feet 6 1/4 inches.
Sound about right?
So that's about right.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Yep.
Was that an in-game action or was that from a standing start?
It was from a standing start. I hit it on my first try too. If you ask me,
oh my god!
If you ask somebody else, they might say 10 or 15. But if you ask me, yeah.
Was the hook shot always your go-to move when you played basketball, and that's how it just kind of kept expanding? And you're like, let's set a record.
Well, as a Globetrotter, I'm a showman, and I in the likes of Metal Oak Lemon. Mm-hmm. And if you watch Metal Oak coming up, he shot the hook shot. And that's what the showman's, the main thing that you're known for. I'm too big to be dribbling on the floor. So I wanted to, perfect that and try to be good at it. So that's why I started from it. And I'm actually left-handed, but I shoot it right-handed.
Huh. So you set the record and you said, that wasn't all that hard. Let's make it a little more difficult. Let's throw a blindfold on.
I did the blindfold one too. That was fun. That was real cool. And I used to always joke around in practice with my coach and with the guys, and just having fun in warm-ups before the game with the fans. And I used to put a headband over and do a blindfold. And that's like a free throw. If you practice shooting a free throw so many times, thousands of times, like Michael Jordan did, you can close your eyes and hit it.
Right.
Hit it blindfold.
Growing up, I've actually never been to a Globetrotters game, but they're always around as a kid. Whatever the events. I know. So one, when are you guys going to be playing again? And two, do the Globetrotters operate like a... Because what you guys do is just incredible. Do you operate like a regular basketball team, practices? Like, how often are you guys together?
So we're going to be here for the first question. We're going to be here December 26th in the United Center, 2 games. December 27th, Allstate Arena, 2 games.
Okay.
So secondly, yes, we have training camp is coming up day after Thanksgiving. Then we're going to pump some shows out after that. We're just like any other basketball team because...
How many shows are there a year?
It's over 200 and some odd shows a year.
All over the world, too, right?
Everywhere. I've been to 90 countries.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Because no matter what, if we can do all these tricks and we can do all this cool stuff, if the ball don't go in the hoop, y'all don't care. so we got to practice and make sure we're doing it what we're supposed to do.
I envision training camp for the Globetrotters. Learn how to spin a ball on your finger for 5 minutes straight. Learn how to bounce a ball. It's like the craziest stuff you guys do.
You know what? It consists of some of that. You do a lot of that stuff, the spinning the ball and the tricks. We do a lot of that back in the hotel room and before games, before practice and stuff. We're a basketball team first. We got a lot of athletes. You got a lot of men and women on the a team who like that, who can hoop. You know, we can hoop first, and then everything else come along with it.
So what's one of your favorite tricks to do, or, you know, as a team?
I think just the fan interaction is second to none. Like, we go up into the stands, and we might take a lady's purse, or we might grab a kid and let them come shoot a shot to win a jersey or a prize. That's my fun spot. When somebody's not paying attention, you know, sitting down watching the game, and I just walk by and just, you know, sit in their lap, 6'9", you know, 300 pounds, and take their phone and take a selfie with that whole side of the arena. That's my favorite part, just the interaction, because anything could be going on in your life. You could be having a bad day, a bad week, some tragic can happen at home.
Yeah.
But for that hour and 30 to hour to 45 minutes, you forget about it. You enjoy yourself, you laugh, and you share that time with your family. And it's tough to find stuff like that these days.
So you used to play the Washington Generals, right?
We still do.
You still do?
Yeah.
Okay. And they have the worst losing record in the history of organized sports, I believe. Isn't that the
They've
case?
They've never beaten you guys, right?
Once.
Or was there just one instance?
The last time they won, I wasn't born. It was 1971. And, you know, you can't have the winningest team in the world if you don't have the losest team in the world. So you got to love them if you love us.
I mean, it's just such an iconic brand. I love the Globetrotters growing up. It's always on TV, the song, you hear it immediately, and you just think about whatever, whether you're at events seeing you guys perform or watching you on TV.
To show up with Scooby-Doo.
Right.
They're going to solve a mystery.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's always something.
Yeah.
Right? Fred was like, I really want to be a Globetrotter. They're like, no, I don't think so. Metalwork was like, no, Curly Neal, nah, I don't think it's going to work out. But it was nice, though. Thanks for asking.
How did you get involved with the Globetrotters? How most guys get involved with the Globetrotters?
Everybody have a unique story. You can ask any one of the 35 players we have their story. But my story is, I was coming out of college, tore my knee, and I was looking to play professionally. And my family, we lost everything in Hurricane Katrina. So we evacuated to Houston. We were in two motel rooms. It was 13 of us. And my agent called me, and he was like, hey, you know, you want the Globetrotters in town doing a charity event for the victims of Hurricane Katrina, them along with the NBA.
In Houston.
Yeah. And it was like, do you want to go and work out? Like, yeah, it's 13 people in two rooms. Of course I want to get out the room and go do something. And I didn't realize that it was a tryout for the team. And I went in there, and before I walked out, it was like, okay, you know, there's a spot open on the team, and, you know, this is what we do. And I was like, okay, cool. I had an opportunity, you know, because I grew up in the projects in New Orleans. So I had an opportunity, if I get the gig, to take care of my family. And I was able to, you know, get us out the projects and help all of those 13 people, family and friends, get into apartments and everything with the contract I received that next night. And so, and it's been 15 years, 90 countries later. I was on I lost on Amazing Race three times. A lot of crazy stuff didn't happen. So that's my story, you know. Some good happened out of some bad.
And your family moved back to New Orleans?
My family just moved back to New Orleans. Yeah, my mom is there. My brother's still there. Yeah, I live in Denver now.
Wow.
Wow.
What a story.
Tragedy turns into that.
Yeah.
You see the whole world after that.
Did your family live in the Lower Ninth?
No, we from uptown, Third Ward, Melford. I mean, a lot of my cousins live in the Lower Ninth Ward of Poland across the canal. But
yeah
I'm from, my side is from uptown. We live right by the Superdome. Right?
I could almost cry talking about New Orleans, about the going down there and the aftermath of that and seeing what had happened. And you stop and you just think about such, you know, that's a 400-year city, right? 400-year-old city.
Mm-hmm.
And it's seen a lot of different things happen over its very, very many years.
Uh-huh.
But it has the resilience and the way it came back and the way that the New Orleans Saints conducted themselves and all of that, and sort of tried to lead the city out, and Drew Brees and stuff. I mean, it was just such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful story, and it's a place people should go.
And that's what, coming back to the Globetrotters, you know, just like that tragic thing happened, and they came to do an event for the victims of Katrina, and it's amazing to think back now. That's what I do, you know. If there's a hurricane, tornado, fires, anything in any city or any country around the world, we come and give that relief and let them know there's hope, and you can smile. It's okay. So that's how I got on the team. So, you know, I appreciate and cherish that.
Yeah. Big Easy. That's why they call him Big Easy.
Big Easy. I'm going to come see you guys this year. I've never been to a Globetrotters game. I'm putting it in the calendar.
Sit in his lap, please.
If you don't come sit, I'm coming up here.
All right, Big Easy. I'll be there.
You know what you should do? You should join the Washington Generals.
Oh, I could do that. You could humiliate me in front of an entire arena.
You're basically perfect for that.
I kind of am.
I don't know what that means.
when you said 35 guys, there's 35 guys on both teams, right?
We have one unit. And it's total of 35 to 40 of us, and we split up, and sometimes we have two or three units out at the same time.
Oh, I see.
Because we got to touch the world. You know, we don't want everybody to be waiting 7 years to see us. We want you to see us every year. So you go to our website, and you can see all our games, wherever you're at.
They must love you in China, right?
They love us everywhere. I've been to 90 countries, you know? Yeah. I've been to 90 countries, so they
love us. Favorite place to check out where outside of the U.S.? Favorite destination?
I don't know. I like everything. You know. The Europe is good in Europe and South America because they're soccer fans, so they come to the game with a different feeling.
They try to kick the ball.
Yeah, and over in Asia, you know, they love basketball. China,
yeah,
Singapore,
it's huge, crazy.
You know, so it's a different feel for them. They don't, you know, they on every little thing they're hitting it. And it's cool to go somewhere and learn certain, you know, phrases in that language, because we don't just go there and speak English. We go there and we show respect to the people, and we try to learn the native language, and we try to give them the show in their language, what goes so far no matter what.
Oh,
and,
for sure.
And, you know, laughter and smiles are universal. So
that's awesome. True. Awesome. And that hook shot's universal, too.
Yes, yes.
And that ball on the string is universal. Well, and the confetti in the bucket. Those are all universal things.
And when I come off the plane, the first thing you see is my beautiful face. Yeah, everybody's happy.
It does say here that you do claim to be the best looking of the Globetrotters. So
you're not supposed to read everything off your notes, man. Come on.
All right. Really. Big Easy Lofton, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you all. I appreciate you.
Have fun doing the Emmys here tomorrow night.
Have a good job, man. Just thanks, everybody, for welcoming us back home in Chicago. I want to thank Branson and Silver Dollar City for having us. We're family, but they're a big reason why the Globetrotters is going to be here tomorrow. So come check us out December. Right.
Very good. December 26th and 27th.
Yep.
Downtown at the United Center on the 26th and then out at Rosemont on the 27th. The Harlem Globetrotters. Big Easy, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, baby.
Appreciate it.
Have a good night.
We've got news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way right now.